Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. Bill and Wendy. It's Tuesday. We hope to have a good show for you. Jump in anytime, 312-981-7200.
Boy, that's setting the bar pretty high. We hope to have
a good show for you. It's, you know, some things are out of our control. We're going to do whatever we can to make this a pleasant experience. So just have a good time.
Sit back and relax.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. All you can do is listen. I know you went to see Cyndi Lauper last night.
God.
You've been dreaming about this since you were a wee little girl.
I've seen her before.
You have, yeah.
I adore her, and she was fantastic. She did all these old country songs from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and then interspersed them with all of her hits, including Girls Just Want to Have Fun, True Colors, Time After Time, Sheba Up. I will tell you one thing. She did a lot of chatting, which I liked. I like when musicians talk.
About, like, stories or angry political rants?
Well, kind of both.
Did she, yeah?
She talked about her Nana, and she...
That's her grandmother or a banana?
A
which
banana.
Which one is it, yeah?
Her grandmother, and she had watched Arthur Godfrey's show when she was younger.
Yeah.
And Patsy Cline came on, and she was saying how she just said, you know, Grandma, that's going to be me, or Nana, that's going to be me someday. So now with this new record, Detour, she's reworked all these classic country western tunes, and on the record, it's Vince Gill, Emmylou Harris, Willie Nelson, and she's got such a voice, but there was one point where I felt kind of guilty.
Because why?
She mentioned Prince, and she sang When You Were Mine, which, of course, he wrote for her.
Yeah.
And then she said, and Sinead O'Connor, I'm glad she was found. My heart goes out to her. I hope she can recover. And, you know, I really am. I just want to say thank you, Chicago, because you really accepted her and you really put your arms out. And I'm thinking, we didn't even know she was here.
Yeah, that's tricky, because we didn't know she was here. You don't want to...
Until she went missing.
It was a genuine, kind moment.
Oh, yeah,
so you don't wanna...
And she didn't know. I mean, for all Cyndi knew, we knew she was...
Right.
Sinead was hanging out here, but we didn't.
Oh, that's tricky. All right. I could see where that would be a little uncomfortable. So how did you react to that? Did you just nod your head like, yeah, we did what we could, you know?
No, I said to Mike, like, we didn't even know she was here, but I'm glad she's found, too.
What if Cyndi Lauper overheard you say that?
She could have. It was fantastic.
Are you surprised she's taken the direction of country music? Because
no.
I didn't see that coming.
She opened her show by saying, you know, I've been different. And a lot of times I couldn't get on a record label I wanted to because I was too different, but I didn't want to conform. So if you're different, continue to be different. And it was really a great little message. Plus, her voice is just unbelievable. I am a big, you know, Nashville girl now since we went last year, and I'm all about the old country.
But it's strange because to hear her talk or oftentimes sing, you get an East Coast accent, you get a New York accent. So I don't know how that transitions into a Nashville sound.
First of all, when she talks, it's so, oh yes, how's everybody doing?
Yeah.
And it's funny because Michael says to me last night, my son said, you know, it's so weird when you hear her talk. She's so New York, so Bronx.
Right.
But in all of her songs, you don't really hear that. And then Michael just kind of hit himself on the head and said, duh, the Beatles.
Well, yeah, almost everybody from the British Invasion, like to just hear them sing, you wouldn't...
Americanized.
Yeah, yeah.
She doesn't have any accent singing.
Huh. And does she dress in the era like the Patsy Cline type... Cowgirl outfits, or is
Minnie
she...
Minnie Pearl, maybe.
Or Minnie Pearl with the hat with the price tag.
No, but I swear Junior Sample sat in front of us last night. Came in with full-blown overalls. I swear it was him. She wore black leather leggings.
Yeah.
Black fringe vest. A black leather vest. Underneath that, she had like a black cowboy hat, and she had one of those little riding ponies on the stick.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
It was really
adorable.
It's the
stick horse?
Yeah.
It's a stick, but it has a horse's head?
Giant horse head. And she did say, you know,
through the whole show she had that?
No, just for one song.
It's like an impaled horse head.
Right.
And there was this really cool, she was doing this old song and she had a payphone hooked up, and as she was on the receiver, they rigged a microphone in the phone. So she sang her song while being on the phone.
Oh,
it was so
that's
cool.
That's interesting, yeah.
And then she talked about how women don't make as much as men, and, you know, we have to become equal and we have to vote. And she's like, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
But
did she mention how much people were paying to see her sing?
No.
No, didn't come up.
It was still less than paying to see a man sing, though.
Oh. Really?
How about that?
I don't know. I'll put on a show. I bet they don't pay me the same.
And she went on to say...
she's not going to tell you who to vote for.
Yeah, I'm not going to, you know, she's praising women and, you know, girl power and all that. And she says, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but please vote, because if you don't, we're going to be F-word.
Oh.
And everybody clapped.
People applauded for that.
It was pretty great.
Because it was philosophical.
It was very philosophical.
People want philosophy.
But the highlight of the night, that crazy puppet show that you see riding around, there's a guy on a bike who has a puppet show built in. It's like a big square wooden crate that is usually right in front of WGN, the Allstate Showcase studio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's he plays music and just has these little puppets that dance. He was out in front of the Chicago Theater.
Oh.
And
he didn't open for her, though.
He
kind of did. All right.
He was there at 7 when we arrived, and at 10:15 when got out, he was still there.
It's a long day for him.
I know. You've never seen that puppet show guy?
I don't think I have. I don't remember seeing that.
It's just everywhere, Bill.
Yeah. It's out in front of the Walgreens almost every day on Michigan Avenue here.
I'll keep an eye open for him.
It's just crazy music, and then he's got
then
these
puppets.
Well, if you see
that
a puppet show, Bill, that's the one.
That's the one puppet guy? All right. I'll look for him.
He's the only one I've ever seen, and his puppets need to be washed.
I'll tell you. You know, the elements. All right. So this is the question. I know this is a ridiculous question, but who the audience was mostly who? Like, who came to see the show?
It really ran the gamut. There were older people. There were younger people. Michael's 16, almost 17.
Was he the youngest there, or were they younger than him?
There was a younger girl who was probably about 8 years old. She was there with her dad, bought a Cindy shirt.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of gay couples.
Yeah.
A lot of men. That's, I think, the majority.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
And she's a proponent of, you know, the LGBTQ.
Right.
So it was really fantastic. There was a drunk woman walking out who was trying to dress Cyndi Lauper-esque and had really high heels.
Yeah.
And asked me to go to a bar with her. And I said, no, I'm with my 16-year-old son.
She
actually
got to the concert in 1987.
Yes.
Well, TSA lines are so long, Steve, that she got there in 1987 and checked herself through and finally got in.
You know, I would like to put a little shout out to anyone on their way to an airport right now. Please call us back throughout the day and let us know how long it took you to get through the line. I'm just curious.
That's a good question.
Either Midway or O'Hare, if you're on your way now and you're listening and you get through the TSA line before we're off the air at 3.
Let's see what happens.
Call us and I'm just curious, because I've been seeing people posting that I got through in 15 minutes yesterday. So it just depends when and where.
I hope that's still happening. I hope somebody's able to get through in 15 minutes, because every story I hear is just
nightmare. I'm so scared.
O'Hare today suggests that people arrive 3 hours early.
3 hours.
They put out a statement saying, please come 3 hours early.
You know, I heard Steve Cochran say, and this is so true, say you have somewhere that you want to go, and it's maybe a 6 hour, 7 hour drive.
Yeah.
By the time you wait to get through customs or the TSA line,
right,
board your plane, you may as well just drive to that 7 hour away place instead of fly.
Yeah, if you're taking into account waiting in line on both legs of the trip. Yeah, isn't that crazy that it would come to that?
The whole point of taking air travel is you get there quicker.
To save time. 3 hours it's back to back. I mean, this is the obvious, but it's back to back episodes of Saturday Night Live. It's like from the time you stand in that line till you're done with the line, you can watch not one but two full episodes of Saturday Night Live. That's how long you're talking about.
Well, you and I are the only ones who watch it religiously. It's been a little weak the last couple of weeks.
A little bit.
Watch it.
Yeah.
And Drake, I got to tell you, he won me over. I'm not crazy about his singing, but his acting chops pretty good.
Yeah, you enjoyed him. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then there's a whole bunch going on the show. Take Wendy up on her offer. If you're going to travel today at one of our airports at O'Hare or Midway, keep us up to date on your progress. We're curious to see how far you get. We're at 312-981-7200, and it's WGN. It might be. Every line is full, 312-981-7200. We're trying to figure out what to do about this TSA situation.
And I'd like it solved before I go to Disney in 3 weeks. Hi, Eric.
Yes. You know what? I just want to steer you this way with this because I like you guys so much. You look at about 2 months ago, I got a free TSA get-out-of-jail-free thing on my ticket. So I shot through that, through the airport. It was the greatest thing. But they want to charge you $85 a month for that.
A year.
I mean, you're
big
right.
Difference.
A year. But it is. But anyway.
Eric, wait. Can I ask a quick question? How did you get that free on your ticket? I've never heard of somebody
I got it with, I flew Southwest.
Yeah.
And I got it one time. It just says pre-TSA up in the corner with a check mark. So I asked about it, and they say randomly they're giving you a taste of this.
Oh.
So I've got it out of the whole time. I've got it twice, and a friend of mine's got it once, and the other times we haven't got it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But what I heard was, and the experts were talking about this TSA thing a couple months ago, when they wanted to charge $85 a year for these things, they overestimated how many people would really get it. They expected by now 10 million, and only 1 million have signed up for it, almost just a million. So I'm not saying that they deliberately caused this, but you can cause this by not working people overtime and everything, and then their intent was to make it like this so people would be forced to consider buying those yearly TSA pre-screenings.
I don't know if that's true, but it's an interesting theory because already I'm thinking $85, maybe it's worth it.
$340 for a family of four to solve a problem that's not yours. I mean, it's a definite problem. You're waiting in line. You didn't cause the problem. They don't pay you. Think about if we all charged them 3 hours of our time, whatever you make per hour, triple that and send them a bill for it. They're not paying us for that time. Why should we pay them for that time?
And it only gets worse because when you tell people to show up 3 hours ahead of time, you got extra people coming in early and the people already still waiting there for the regular flights from like 2 hours ahead of time. And I used to only get there an hour and a half ahead of time. And then you scare people that start getting there 4 hours ahead of time. So you got probably twice as much people at one time in the airports than you should have anyway.
All right. Well, thank you for your thoughts on that. I heard and read various reports that the peak times at the airport are like, I think it's 7 to 9 a.m. and then 4 to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
That's where the brunt of the travel times are.
Yeah.
So instead of just scheduling regular 9 to 5 shifts for people, why don't you double up on the amount of people during those peak times, 7 to 9 and 4 to 6? That seems to make sense.
Sure, it does.
We put a challenge out there, and Helen, your daughter is flying somewhere and got through the security line at which airport this morning?
She was at Midway.
And how long did it take her?
She said it only took them 20 minutes to go through the line. They had no problem at all.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. What time was her flight?
About 10:30.
So, that's fantastic. Good for her.
Well, hopefully they'll get on okay.
Yeah.
God, I hope so if she's already through. How many hours early did she go? Did she do the 3 hour?
No, she didn't. They were running late, so she just got there a little, you know, like I say, probably a half hour, 45 minutes.
Wow, that's lucky.
They checked their luggage, yeah.
She's very fortunate.
Well, yes, safe travels.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Helen.
What about this? In the old days, they would tell you if you had an international flight, that's when you want to get to the airport 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Right.
Because I remember groaning about that. I was so used to just walking up a half an hour beforehand. Oh, no, I got to be there 90 minutes early. So for an international flight, what are they recommending? Is it the same or more?
The day before.
You got to go the day before. All right.
They have cots.
They do have cots. All right. We have to take a break. Steve has the news and then more show coming your way. Next, it's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, we put the challenge out there. Bill and Wendy here, 720 WGN. TSA, if you're going to travel today and you hear our voice and you're getting ready to go in the airport, we'd like to know how long it took you to get through the TSA line. Hey, Maria.
Yes.
Where are you?
I am in Madison, Mississippi. I used to live in Chicago.
And are you at the airport?
No, I'm not. I was at the airport 2 weeks ago on April 30th.
You just got home now? That's too long.
Almost, believe me. No, we got home on Saturday.
And how long did you have a really long wait? Which airports are you talking?
We left out of Jackson International Airport, and we had a connecting flight in Houston. We were at the airport 3 hours ahead of time, and we almost missed our flight.
Oh, no. 3 hours. Oh,
3 hours, God. And I have TSA PreCheck. I have Global Entry. The problem is they only have one line. They do not have a TSA PreCheck. So we were standing online with everybody else. There was four of us. They were paging us to the gate for final boarding. And the agent, we were at the first line, refused to let us go, even though the people online said, let them go. I finally said to her, could you at least let them know at the gate that we are here?
Yeah.
She said, no, we have no way of contacting them. She says, you just have to wait your turn. Luckily, someone from United Airlines at the gate came all the way to the front, to the lobby, looking for all of us. And we said, we're here, we're online, she won't let us through. She took us, but then security still made us take off our shoes, take off our jewelry, and everything, and we had to run to the gate.
That's terrible.
And everybody on the plane is looking at us as if we were hanging out at a bar somewhere.
Right, sure, of course.
I'm at TSA.gov right now, and there are TSA PreCheck airports and airlines, and you said you were at Houston, right?
No, we left out of Jackson, Mississippi, and we had to fly to Houston.
So, Maria, at some point, you asked people in front of you, you said to them, our flight is about to take off, we're being paged, and they
everybody
were kind enough.
Everybody online was like, let them go.
Yeah.
And she was just adamant. She was rude. She was like, oh, no, they just have to wait.
And when you'd explain, hey, we've paid for this service, so we don't have to wait in this long
line. It doesn't apply to that airport, though. That's the problem that I'm just looking at.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
They don't have a T. There's site. You just wait with everybody else. But they do have a little sideline for priority people.
Yeah.
You know, the people that have the credit card.
Yeah.
So if you pay $95 to have a credit card with an airline, then you can go. She wouldn't even let us go on that line, and there was nobody there.
All right, that's crazy. But I just want to say Mississippi has Golden Triangle Regional Airport, Gulfport, Biloxi, Hattiesburg, Laurel Regional Airport, and Meridian. That's it. So
it's JAN.
Right, it's not one of the airports that
yes.
takes this program. So if people, mm-hmm. if you are thinking of getting this pre-check airport and airline, please check at TSA.gov, because if you fly out of Jackson
right.
all the time, it's not even going to apply to you.
Exactly. So when the TSA is telling people to get pre-check, they're misleading people. Not all airports have it.
Right.
That's
I didn't know
awful.
That till right now.
But what gets me is if you just apply $95 to get a United Airlines or American Airlines credit card, you get to go on a separate line, but she wouldn't even take the pre-check people on that line.
Oh, my God.
What a nightmare.
But there is a sign that says TSA PreCheck, and you stand online with everybody else, but yet, even though you have PreCheck, they still make you take off your shoes and everything.
Oh, good God, Maria.
Unbelievable.
Well,
we're sorry you had to endure this.
So the TSA needs to also make people aware that just because you have TSA PreCheck, it doesn't apply to every airport.
Right.
It's pretty much, I hate to say, useless.
It is useless.
Thank you, Maria. And people, please go to TSA.gov because I was really all set to do this.
I don't think it's a good investment. I really don't.
And we travel once a year.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't even entertain this as an idea if I were you.
But please, if you're thinking about it, go to TSA.gov. You have to fill out an online thing. You have to go for an interview somewhere. I don't know where that is, the airport. Boy, how long the line right. going to be there?
Right.
And your airport may not accept the pre-check certification. Jan, what's your trials and tribulations?
Okay, this is a no-brainer. This is a good deal, guys. I've had bilateral knee replacement. I set off all kinds of alarms when I go through. I was pre-checked for the last three flights back and forth to Denver from O'Hare. It took me 15 minutes to get through the whole thing, and
really?
It's wonderful. That's the only way to fly, and you're not standing in line. You go off to the side. You just put your luggage up. You don't have to take your shoes off. You just walk through, and I set off alarms like always with the metal in your leg.
Yeah, I have a total knee replacement too. So,
but you just say this is the deal. They scan you. You go in the scanner, then they pat you down, and you're gone. It's no big deal. It's wonderful, and you don't have to wait in line. I mean, it took me. In fact, the last flight Sunday from Denver to Chicago. I was through to the gate because they've got a train that takes you from one concourse to the other. I was through to the gate from start to finish in 10 minutes.
God love
you,
Jan.
That's not bad.
That's pretty awesome. It works for you, although think about if all these people do a TSA pre-check now, that might make your line a little longer. Also, Diane, thanks for your call. We're out of time, but pre-check registration can take a while. I can't get it done in 3 weeks anyway, so...
Oh, you can't?
I don't think so. I'm out. I'm not spending this more aggravated, because then I'll just go, we spent $400 right. for what?
Right. I know.
And I'll sound like that, too.
Nobody wants that. A quick break, and then Bridget Carey joins us from CNET. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It is a Tech Tuesday, my friend Bill. And I don't know how tech-savvy you are, but each and every Tuesday we talk to Bridget Carey, CNET senior editor and host of the CNET Update. Hello, Bridget.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. I have an Apple question for you. Apple is rumored to be coming out with new MacBook Pros in June. There's a big Apple conference that's coming up in June. I found out this information on CNET. My question to you is, if I'm thinking about buying a MacBook Pro, should I just wait till the new one comes out in June because the one that's currently out will be reduced in price?
Yeah, that's exactly right, because the new one is going to have, you know, some sort of extra special spec on, you know, whether it's the screen or something that doesn't really matter. You want to make sure that you get the one that's out now cheaper. So, yes, I would hang tight for a month. It's coming up very, very soon, and, you know, so, yeah, definitely hang tight.
You can wait a month, Wendy.
I've waited this long. I can't even get in. When I signed up for Xbox One for my 13-year-old, I use my email address, and now he has somehow taken over the administrative duties of my laptop. So when I go to click on pictures and such, it says, please check with your administrator, and I scream at it, I am the administrator. Aren't you having something problem like that, too? You can't click on things?
Yeah, I've given up. I just use a magic slate. It's easier for me. You know what, Bridget? I wish Amazon had food. Will that happen in our lifetimes? Probably not, right? That's impossible.
Oh, your dreams can come true.
What?
Perhaps in a week or two.
What?
Yeah. Okay, so that's the latest report. They are working on making their own brand of snack foods, like their own generic food line. So you can get nuts and coffee and vitamins and baby food from Amazon, perhaps. It's something that isn't exactly foreign to Amazon. They've already made different kinds of products under their own brand. For example, on the tech side, you can get Amazon branded cords and mice and batteries, but you don't eat those. So this would be interesting to see.
Speak for yourself, Bridget. If I'm hungry, I'll take a munch. Now, so will they actually be making them themselves, or is it other companies making it and they're just stamping their name on these products?
Exactly that, where it's a generic brand, and it'll be cheaper because they'll have, you know, they'll be able to take a bigger bite of the profit. And from the reports, because it's not official yet, It sounds like they'll make this only for people who have Prime. So that's that $100 yearly subscription. It makes you feel cool because you can do something that someone else can't.
Yeah. Hey, it's totally worth it, Bridget. If you order 10 items, even 5 items on Amazon, that Prime is totally worth it to me.
Hey, I love it. Even though I'm a little silly about it, I do find it helpful if you do order a lot, you know, and obviously their goal is to get more people to use it. And they're also going back to selling something that they had problems with. It's not just food. It's also some household items like diapers. If you remember, a few months back, Amazon did launch its own line of diapers and baby wipes, and they had to pull it because, well, it was just, they just weren't made right. It was a stinky little design. Yeah.
Oh.
So
Amazon Grime.
They're going back to trying to launch detergent under their brand name and diapers again. So we'll see how this works out.
All right. Speaking of Amazon Prime, I met someone who said, oh, you've got to do this Tidal. That's the Jay-Z music thing, much like Spotify. Although Tidal, to get a playlist going, I think is $20 a month. Spotify is about 10 something a month. But Amazon Prime, are you aware of all the great songs you can get if you're a Prime member?
My husband loves it.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, you can get a lot of great music. Here's a funny thing. Let's say you share Prime with one family account for all the delivery, because obviously, you know, you can share the delivery perks.
Which we do.
You can't exactly share with different passwords the music perks. So for me to get the music perks, I have to use my husband's, you know, login, and he doesn't care, you know. So that's something to keep in mind, too. But there's music, and Prime also has books, e-books that you can access.
Yep.
And obviously its own version of Netflix. So, yeah, and they're just coming out with their own version of YouTube now to grow their, you know, video. So it's just becoming one big, giant, you know, company for everything. Get your nuts, get your diapers, get your video.
That's their new slogan.
Get your nuts.
The FCC
with
is not
us.
Happy about it either.
Hey, we have a question, Bridget, and it's a good one. Linda's on the line. Hi, Linda. This is Bridget Carey from CNET.
Hi. I love Bridget, CNET, and both you and Bill.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I have a question about the different cloud services. I have on my desktop computer synced to my phone and my laptop about 5 different cloud services. Is it necessary to have all those? Is there a problem with having all those? I'm speaking of like Dropbox, Amazon Cloud, Google Drive, iCloud, et cetera, et cetera.
I think there's no problem other than the fact that it can feel like your stuff is everywhere and you might go a little crazy remembering where you put everything. Every tech company now wants you on their own cloud service. You have your iPhone bugging you to upload to their cloud. Google naturally has Google Drive with your Gmail account, and that's pretty helpful. Microsoft has its own with OneDrive. And all these services give you, what, like 5 gigabytes for free, maybe as much as 10 sometimes.
And you very quickly run out of that space, so then you use the next item to upgrade more, and that's where you have the problem you're in, Linda.
Yeah, I would say the best solution, so you don't go crazy when something really bad does happen and you can't access your computer again and you want to know where my files are, do invest in a portable hard drive, something small you can plug in with a USB, and just keep everything backed up, you know, at least twice a year. You know, so that way, you know, all those photos, some are here, some are there. They aren't scattered everywhere, and you do have at least one place to go first when your computer crashes. And then the backup drives are helpful as a secondary measure.
Although the backup drives, a lot of times you have to get a wireless one to back up your phone. And I just purchased something yet, haven't installed it yet. It is it's a cloud backup drive that you hook up to one computer, you plug it into your Ethernet and in your router for like your cable services or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then once that account is set up, any wireless device can just download that app and you can just dump your phone like up to 5 wireless things on this main drive that's kept in the basement. Isn't that a great idea?
That's really helpful. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. And again, I love your show, and all the shows on WGN.
Oh, Linda, thanks. Well. You're very nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill, and have a great day.
Take care. I didn't know there were five different clouds. I'll be honest. Linda impressed me. Now, I don't know what to do with this. Please explain this to me, Bridget, because I'm baffled by this. I think I told you about a month or so ago, a little over a month ago, I got a new TV, and I love it, except when they were selling me on the virtues of this TV as opposed to others, the salesperson said, what's great about this TV is it's got fast capture speed. And I said, oh, I would love to have that, because I didn't know that existed. And I said, what is that exactly? And he said, when things happen on the screen, your TV reads it and then plays it at a faster rate. He goes, do you like hockey? I go, I love hockey. He goes, it'll make a hockey game so much better because it'll read it faster and translate it faster. But the downside is when I'm watching a regular television show, whenever people are moving or doing anything physical, mm-hmm. it happens at twice the speed.
It looks weird.
Yeah.
Like something's off, right?
So you know what I'm talking about. Why is that happening? I don't want that.
I turn that off. That actually is something that is a setting that is great for basketball games, hockey games, like you said, and video games where there's a lot of, fast turning around corners and shooting people.
Right.
And you have to, process it fast, and that way it looks very smooth. So the whole point is that it just looks smoother. But it makes your normal, CSI Miami look really freaking weird.
Bridget, so. We were watching Golden Girls. I thought one of the ladies was going to tip over. I got scared.
I would say turn it off and then just turn the setting on when there is a big game you want to watch.
All right. I didn't know you could turn it off. How do I have to talk to my alderman? How do I turn it off?
You're going to look for a setting. Every TV is different, so I'm a little hesitant to go, oh, yeah, it's called this.
Oh.
But it is something to do with the frame rate. And sometimes they're called, sports setting or this setting or that or movie setting. So you want to check out, what's your preset setting and see if you can fix it.
All right, good. I just need that turned off because I'm getting dizzy. Yeah.
And it would be great to turn to the guide that comes with the TV, although they don't come with it anymore. You have to download the guide online. That is cheap, man.
Yep.
We're not saving a tree. We're adding another problem to our lives. Bridget, thank you so much. CNET senior editor, host of the CNET Update. What do you have coming up today on the CNET Update?
Well, we are talking about how Google is getting into the Uber business of sorts. They own the Waze app, and they're testing out carpooling. Right now, they're only doing a small test in California, but if this succeeds and grows, now you have Google getting into the ride-sharing business and getting into Uber's business.
We're not even going to need cars anymore. Do you realize that?
Nope.
But we still need our computer to get to CNET.com. Thank you so much, Bridget.
Thanks,
Bridget. All right, a quick break. Steve with the news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. And our phone lines are open and our text lines are open. If you want to jump in, please do. 312-981-7200. There's a picture of Donald Trump that is at the top of Huffington Post today. And I only make mention of it to you because whenever I think of him, he is in the exact same pose that he's in this picture at Huffington Post, and I'll explain. He's at a podium. He's got a microphone in front of him, and his hands are doing the guns blazing move that he does a lot.
Is he auditioning for Yosemite Sam in a musical?
That would be the most accurate way to describe how Donald Trump looks. Whenever I see him do this, I always think to myself, because I know that when we're making body gestures and body movements, we're not constantly thinking about what exactly our hands are doing or our arms are doing or whatever. But he does this move a lot. It's pointing upward. It's like upward guns. And, it's to get a point across, of course. But it's a move that I don't think I have ever made or would ever make, or it would even occur to me. Like if I was talking to you or anybody, I wouldn't go, this would be a great time to get my point across, to make my hands go in an upward guns movement. I wouldn't do that, Would you?
No, there are. Was it Clinton that Bill Clinton that used to just kind of make a fist with his thumb on top?
Or the
was
7-Ups move.
The what?
Remember the
oh,
game?
Yeah.
Remember there was a game when you were in grade school where you would put your head down and
yes.
you'd put your thumb up in the air and then somebody would walk around and push your thumb down and you'd have to guess who it was.
Yes.
That's the thumbs up move. But yeah, whenever he would talk. When
or was
Bill
that
Clinton,
just Daryl Hammond doing Bill
no,
Clinton?
No, Bill Clinton legitimately did that with his hand. He would move his thumbs up and just keep coming at you with the thumbs. And that was his move.
But I guess, see, that's kind of like when you, they always say when you're growing up, it's rude to point. Although
right.
when you look at all babies, the first thing they do is point to things.
Right.
Like a light.
Right.
So I wonder if Clinton was trying to prevent himself from pointing, so he did the closed fist with the thumb on top.
Well, pointing seems too abrupt.
Yeah.
Like they, I know this because
unless
I've read.
Unless you do.
Right. You have to make the sound. If you make the kick, it's all right. But like when they're training you to work at Disneyland or Disney World, they say to you, because pointing is abrupt, there's a way of pointing with your hand that's kind of a general move.
Really?
So, yeah.
Like an open palm or
yeah.
something, palm
it's
up?
Yeah, it's a friendlier, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So I think with Bill Clinton, he was thinking in his head, this would be a good time to point, but pointing is rude, so I'll just point with my thumbs and move my hands toward the person, and it worked for him.
It did.
But the guns blazing move that Donald Trump takes, because I see him do this all the time, and I always think to myself, I've never done that once in my whole life. He does it every day. He does it all day every day. I wouldn't think of that.
When you and I talk, and you just did it now, it's an upward open palm, like
sometimes sure.
That's what you do.
Right.
I would never, you know, unless you're Fonzie, why doesn't he do that? That would be better.
I would like him more if he did the Fonzie A move with his thumbs.
According to the internet, they're saying he has 73 different hand motions. And somebody has compiled a whole video of him using all the different hand motions.
Of the different hand motions?
And that's one of them. The, like, loser sign, kind of.
It's, yeah, I guess it would be, right? It's thumbs out, index fingers up, remaining three fingers curled. And he usually, like, when he doesn't always do this, but I've noticed when he does it, it's up, and then the other one's up, then the other one's up, and then he brings them down, because you don't want to be excessive with your guns blazing move. But it's just, I don't know what it is about that. It seems so confrontational to me. Doesn't it?
It just seems like a blowhard move.
Yeah, I guess.
I just don't know what else to... say, like, even
but, like, you know how when you're expressing yourself, you're not consciously thinking, what's the best movement with my hands to get my point across? It just kind of happens automatically.
Naturally.
It
yeah.
should. So I wonder with him, is it the same process, or does he say to himself, this is if there's ever a moment for blazing guns, it's right now. I got to do it right now. How does he decide when to use it and how long to use it? Because I noticed he usually uses it, not always, but usually if he feels trapped, he'll go to that one. Like that's
really?
It. Yeah. If he's asked a question.
He's trying to shoot his way out of the trap.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Boy, he is an interesting man, is he not?
The weird thing is, I don't like him, and he would be a god-awful president, but he is exactly what you just said. He is an incredibly interesting man. If you look at, like, the stories that have dominated the news the last 6 to 9 months, he's been involved in almost all of them. I mean, he is the topic of conversation for the last 6 to 9 months, and I don't think you could do that if you're not interesting, but interesting has a wide spectrum.
Absolutely.
It's funny. It's so not funny. It's frightening.
It's funny when it's not going to be a reality.
Yeah, I think
or
that's true.
Or if it's only going to be a reality show.
Yeah, I think that's true, too. I think that's true.
Because really, he's going to be our president. He's going to be the president. I don't know what else to say.
Say it again, but say it with guns blazing, because...
Does
I want
that
to see
take
if,
away from
yeah,
it.
I don't know if it adds to it or if it takes away from it.
I should use air quotes. He's going to be our next president.
Air quotes. All right, a quick break and then more show. Jump in if you like it, 312-981-7200. We would love to hear from you. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Donald Trump, the presumptive nominee for the Republicans for this upcoming presidential election, has a certain hand gesture, a certain hand move that he uses quite often. There's a picture of it atop the Huffington Post. If you haven't seen it, it is either now on our Facebook page or will be shortly. You see him at a podium making his point, and his fingers are both pointing up in the air and his thumbs are out. It looks like he's Yosemite Sam.
Yes.
Like but, you said.
Yeah. It is up on our Facebook page now, by the way.
All right.
Mike wants to chime in. Hi, Mike.
Yeah. I was a manager for a number of years, and the more comfortable you are talking to people, those gestures, you don't even think about them. They become automatic.
Sure.
But what that gesture tells me is he's very confident in what he's saying, and he wants to push that point across. And I used to do that, too, but I wouldn't raise my voice or anything like that. I talked in low tones. I gestured to emphasize certain points, and that's all he's doing. And you can tell he's very comfortable at the podium.
I will give him that. He is extremely comfortable in a situation
he's
like that.
He's too comfortable.
Do you think so? Yeah.
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 We all have filters. I know it doesn't seem like I do, but, you know, I have filters sometimes when I'm speaking publicly.
Right.
He has no filters.
Right, right.
That's what people like about him.
He has no inhibitions. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't. He's very comfortable, and he's, you know, he's not putting on airs or anything. He is what he is, and that's what he's showing you.
Mike, when you started using that move, is it because you saw somebody else do it and thought, wow, that's pretty effective. I can try that, too. How did that happen?
You're not gonna believe where I got it.
From where?
Roy Rogers.
Oh, really? But
yeah.
Roy had actual guns in his hands when he was
difference.
Doing it.
Yeah, he pulled his gun. I never saw him fire it ever, but he would pull the gun and hold it up like that. And that's exactly what Trump's doing.
From Roy Rogers to you to Donald Trump.
He's a pistol packing hombre.
I guess so. I guess he is. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
So is he going to adapt more of Roy Rogers' moves as the campaign wears on? Is he going to start mounting Trigger, pretending to mount a horse while he's up at the podium?
Wow. That's personal.
People would question that. What's he doing now? He's hugging an imaginary Dale Evans. This is weird.
Who would be his Dale Evans?
Oh.
I mean, not
Melania. You don't
but
think Melania?
I'm talking like running mate.
Oh.
Who's he going to pick?
Well, there's stories today that Newt Gingrich is hoping very badly to have that job, but that it's not going as well as Newt Gingrich had hoped.
Trump
there's a
and
couple
Newt.
Stories. Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. And Ben Carson's name still keeps coming up as a possibility.
I only learn this stuff on SNL. That's why
that
I know
true?
Who's are a possible gonna... running mate.
Yeah.
Jeff wants to chime in on this as well. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning. My youngest son, some years ago, was making a point about some athletic team in Chicago. And his exclamation point to his statement was a double finger snap. And then the guns are blazing. And after he does something like that, you really got nothing. Even any debate, if anybody does that, I think Trump would win any debate with Putin or anybody else for that matter. If he just gives him the double finger snap, guns a blazing gesture, you're toast.
Right.
You're
you can't
that's
beat that. That's,
you can't beat it. That's it.
That's rock, paper, scissors all in one. There's no way to beat that.
The triple threat there.
And then if you blow on your fingers as though to clear the smoke away from the guns.
Oh, you got to do that.
The show's over.
I'll tell him that and he'll practice, I'm sure.
Excellent. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Take care. Did Jeff say how old his son was when
Jeff,
he did that? Is
how
he gone?
How old was he? Oh, he's gone.
He's gone?
I want to say Jeff told me he was 7 off the air.
Oh, 7. Wow. That's a future world leader.
I'm sure if we talked to Trump's mom, he did stuff like that when he was 7.
Maybe. Possibly. Another quick story in the news, and I know you saw this, and I find this hard to believe, but you know, Jimmy Kimmel says now that he is now only eating 5 days a week. He is not eating 7 days a week like we're supposed to. He's only eating 5 days a week.
It's called the fast diet.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be really good for your system because we, as hunters and gatherers, didn't eat every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to reduce, like, your bad cholesterol mm-hmm. and raise, like, the good level. It's supposed to be really good for you, but it's hard to stick to.
He picks, and I don't know if this is standard, but he picks 2 days out of the week, Monday and Thursday, and does not eat. Although later in the story it says, I eat like 500 calories on those days. So that's not complete.
It's not starvation. That's why it's alleged. I read the book. I haven't done it yet. It's the 5-2 diet or the fast diet. And you alternate days. You pick days that you are just, women are supposed to have 500 calories for the day.
That's it.
Men 600. So he's doing the woman calories. He's doing 500. And what it's supposed to help you do is, since you're limited with your calorie restrictions, you're hungry, so you're going to reach for things that don't have high caloric value.
Sure, of course.
Like you'll eat more fruits, more vegetables.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to really be good for your system and help you drop LBs.
Water's okay on those days.
Yeah.
Right?
Anything's okay. On your non-fast days, you can drink. You can do whatever you want. Ultimately, as you're learning about, because everything is portion control.
Yeah, I guess so, sure.
Really, that's it. So on those fast days, I should be a nutritionist. I don't look like one, but I should be. I know so much about it. You would eat lower calorie days, eat lots of fruits and vegetables to fill in the gap between that 500 calories. So ultimately, you would reach for healthier things on those other days as well.
Do you remember him ever looking overweight,
no.
Jimmy Kimmel? I know, like, when most of us were first introduced to him, it would be when he was co-hosting Win Ben Stein's Money.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was a little bit bigger than he is now, but not true. I mean, he is in good shape, but I don't remember there ever being a time where I thought, well, he has just let himself go. He's always seemed to be in fairly decent shape.
Yeah, I'd never look at him and say he's overweight.
No.
Although we figured, too, that with the stupid weight scales and stuff.
Yeah, everybody's
out
of whack.
They're so inaccurate.
I know. So that's his answer. He says the best thing for him is to eat 5 days a week instead of seven, and then on Monday and Thursday, he stays away from most food, but limits himself to 500 calories a day. So he the other day he was on The View. He was on with Kelly Ripa, and he did his own show all within one day. And there was a whole week a couple of years ago, and I can't remember if this is between Regis and Michael Strahan, but he would do his show at night and then fly, you know, in Los Angeles, and then fly to New York after the show and fill in with Kelly Ripa. He did that every day for a week. So he was back and forth. That's a grueling schedule.
Yeah, but he's trying to be the new Ryan Seacrest. How does Ryan do it?
I don't know how anyone
does it. He's cloned himself.
That's too much.
So what are the chances of Kelly Ripa and Jimmy Kimmel being together? Because there's some great chemistry there.
She said the other day that if it's up to her, it's going to be Anderson Cooper. But it's not up.
She seems to be left out of the loop a bit.
A lot. A lot of bit lately. All right, a break, and then Kim Gordon has the news for you, and then we have more show. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Let's look into our crystal ball and go back in time. Bill F. as a little boy.
You get almost the same picture that you get today.
I was looking at you.
It doesn't change dramatically.
Just size, maybe.
No, not even size. Pretty much exactly the same.
Did you collect baseball cards?
Oh, I have tens of thousands of them.
You still have them?
I still have them. I haven't collected them since I was in probably seventh or eighth grade, but I've got them all. I mean, tens and tens of thousands.
Who's your most popular player?
I'm trying to think. I have a
Honus
bunch.
Wagner?
No, I didn't go back that deep. That would have been all right. But I have, the thing to do is to get the rookie card of somebody who goes on to be somebody, you know, important. And I have a bunch of those. I have no idea what the worth of them is. Somewhere in the millions.
Do you still put them in your bike spokes?
Yeah, I still do. Now I do it with the Jeep. I have a Leo Cardenas card from 1972 in my spoke right now.
All right. Well, Jeff Heckman is on the line with us, director of new product development and e-commerce marketplace at Topps. And Topps baseball cards were pretty much a staple in all of our homes and to this day still can be. The gum's not in there anymore, Jeff, is it?
No, it's not. We stopped doing gum a few years ago. It's funny. Everyone always does remark on that. But it, when we had the gum in there, people really didn't like it, and it was stale. But they missed it when we took it out. But
it was as hard as a rock.
You know, one of those things. But it always was a staple that came with baseball cards.
Jeff, sometimes the card would actually taste better than the gum. I would just get a card and chew a card for a little while.
The card was softer, that's for sure.
Way softer.
There's no question, and they would leave the film on the back of the card.
Right.
So as cards became more collectible and went up in value, there were certainly collectors that did not like the film on the back of the card, so that was one reason that we removed it. But, yeah, it was a big part. It's still a big part of the company, Topps. We still, you know, produce Bazooka bubblegum, but no longer put in the card packs anymore.
All right, well, we're going to talk about, you know, how do you improve upon a tried-and-true classic like a Topps baseball card, but now you have something called the Topps Now baseball cards. I saw this in the news. Bartolo Colon broke a record. He was the oldest baseball player to hit a home run.
No, to hit his first
home run. Oh, I'm sorry, to hit his first one. Thank you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you could get a card of Bartolo Colon hitting that home run, and it's only available for 24 hours. It's like a limited edition instant press from Topps Cards. That's how it's described, correct?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's part of Topps Now, and you can find it on Topps.com. And what we do is every day throughout the baseball season, we will highlight the biggest plays or moments from that night's game. So in the Bartolo Colon instance, it was his first home run, and we got the image of him swinging the bat, and that was just such an incredible moment. Given the accomplishment, his age, he's got a cult following. So the next day it was available on Topps.com for 24 hours. You know, it is a much more timely product than Topps is used to coming out with. The baseball cards that you were referencing earlier, Bill, it would usually take 3 to 4 months for us to come out with something that captures what happens in the game. So the Colon card would probably come out later this summer. So for us, we really wanted to try and be timely and have something that fans could own right away the instant that it happens. That's the day and age we live in. So we've been able to set up a quick turnaround print business where, you know, if you buy the card will process, print, and ship to you in 3 to 5 business days, and then you'll be the proud owner of a Bartolo Colon card if that's your card. The Cubs and White Sox are both playing well this year. We've had a bunch of cards from both of their teams. So it's a very cool program to be able to get fans things that happen on the field immediately.
Jeff, I remember as a kid, Topps always put out supplemental sets late in the season. It would be like a set of guys that were traded throughout the season or some highlights, but never anything this instantaneous. This is great. What would something like this run a collector? How much are they?
So if you get individual card, it's $9.99, and that includes free shipping, so you don't have to pay any of the shipping charges that you're accustomed with when you buy things online. And then if you order more quantity, if you'd like more, you know, there's some people that were at the game that want to give it to family and friends. So if you do 5, it's $29.99. If you did 10, it's $49.99, and 20 is $79.99. So you get a little bit of a savings if you buy more, or just one is $9.99 with free shipping for all of those included.
That is not bad.
It's not bad at all.
So say you have a favorite player. Bill has done a fantastic song about Cubs pitcher Jake Arrieta.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you never have to hear it, Jeff. but so Arrieta's no-hitter. Was there an instant Topps Now card of that?
Yes, there was. Yeah, so that was probably the first big moment that happened in the season. So we did a Jake Arrieta card. We actually did a Chris Bryant on the same day because, if you recall, he had a grand slam. The Cubs won the game. I think it was like 16-0. So, yeah, when we did the Jake Arrieta card, it was extremely popular. It was our highest print run to date before the Colon card came out. A lot of fans from Chicago came to the site and bought it. So that was really cool to be able to capture and commemorate a no-hitter.
All right, so you have Jake Arrieta's no-hitter card. You sold 1,808 cards. Chris Bryant's grand slam, about 1,644. The debut of Rangers rookie Nomar Mazara, 1,427 cards. And then Astros rookie Tyler White, his hot start, 1,350 cards. How many cards did you sell of Bartolo Colon's first home run?
You know, I don't have it exactly in front of me. I think it's 8,826, I think. Wow. That's the number.
Yeah, you're very good.
Know, yeah, it's, you know, we're up to, I think, almost 70 cards now through the course of the first 6 weeks. So, you know, some of that one's an easy one to keep track of. Some of the other ones you mentioned, I kind of would have been in the ballpark, but I don't, have them fresh,
right.
fresh in my mind or in front of me. But yeah, no, it's been, I mean, the Cologne thing was such a major moment and occurrence. And then after that happened, you know, we've kept some nice momentum with more and more fans coming to the site, seeing what is available every day. And then last week we had Max Scherzer had 20 strikeouts, which hasn't been done too much. I know Kerry Wood did it for the Cubs. So, you know, the more moments or incredible accomplishments that happen, it's really cool to be able to provide a timely trading card for people to own.
I have a very rare card, Jeff. It's Bryce Harper being kind to a teammate. That's a very rare card.
What about the Batista Odor fight? Now, is that something? Are you going to do negative things like that too? Or
no, there was no tops now card of
too controversial.
Yeah, it's just not something that we really. Yeah. You know, we're really trying to highlight the you know the good and the positive things that go on. We're a partner in Major League Baseball and the Players Association. They're really great to us. So we you know, as far as how we choose and select the cards, you know, there's really, you know, a pretty good vetting process that goes on between the different people within the company and how they look at and what is the appropriate and right thing to celebrate. So there's definitely a filter that goes through. So I know that was. Certainly captured a lot of attention.
Sure.
It's not something that you would see us do on a baseball card.
Jeff, there's a mystery that I've had since I was a kid about baseball cards, and specifically tops, and maybe you can clear it up for me. In the late 60s and early 70s, every team had a team photo. You would get your players and your manager cards, but you'd always have the team all gathered together for a team photo. And for some reason, the Cubs team photo never had them all standing together. It was just cutouts of their heads against a Cubs logo backdrop. And the rumor was always that because the Cubs were owned by Wrigley, Wrigley and Topps didn't get along because they were competing bubblegum companies. But that can't be right, right? There had to be some other reason for that.
You know, that's not one I've heard. One of the cool things about working at Topps is we're a company that's been around for more than 75 years. So we've captured a lot of what's gone on in sports and the entertainment world as far as being able to chronicle that. So there's a lot of really cool stories about us being one of the first companies to ever work with the Beatles when they were still over in London and over in England. And then just some of the great stories of the multiple trading card releases and sports that we've done. That's not one I've ever heard.
It's a good one, though.
It is a great one. And there's a lot of stories that are public. There's some more, you know, that are, you know, who knows, and the people that were involved in it are unfortunately no longer with us. So, you know, there's a lot of lore and history and kind of cool occurrences, and that would be an interesting one if that was the case. But I like I said, I haven't heard anything about that story.
Do me a favor, because I told Wendy about this about a week or so ago when we said that we were going to have you on, and she didn't believe me. Billy Ripken has an interesting baseball card, doesn't he?
He does. It actually wasn't done by Topps. It was done by Fleer. But he has a very, let's say, controversial card. Absolutely.
A strange pose.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you have the card?
I do not have the card. I have seen the card. Yeah. But
Will I want the card?
You would love the card. You would love
the
card.
I have to look it up.
Yeah, Google it. It'll come up.
You'll see it. Yep.
All right, he's Jeff Heckman. This is such a great idea, especially on the heels of the White Sox-Cubs World Series we're going to have in Chicago this year. Where do we go? Just tops.com, and we just check it and see what's available, and if we like it, we only have 24 hours, limited edition, act now.
Correct, yeah. So go to tops.com, and then on the homepage there you'll see the Tops Now section, and you'll click, and you'll get to see every day which cards are available. We'll post the time that they're available until. So as you mentioned, it's just 24 hours only. After the 24-hour period is up, we'll announce the print run on the site, and then the cards will get processed, print, and shipped to your address.
It's a miracle.
Isn't it a great idea?
It is a miracle.
$9.99, that's nothing.
Yep.
For a piece of history.
And the value
instant.
Will go up forever. Because they're so limited. This is great. Jeff, great talking to you, and I'm sure you know this because you probably dreamed of working over at Topps your whole life when you were a kid, but that company has so much intrinsic value to people growing up. It's such a part of our childhoods. We just love it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity to come on. It's been really fun to be able to work at Topps and be able to come up with things like Topps Now and be able to work on a project like this. It's been, as you said, kind of a childhood dream come true.
Pretty great. And we're all still kids at heart, aren't we?
Yeah.
Bill,
yeah.
You're more than just a kid at heart.
Thank you.
Jeff Heckman, Director, New Product Development and E-Commerce Marketplace at Topps. Look for Topps Now cards. Go to Topps.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. Really appreciate it.
Take care, Jeff. A quick break and then more show coming your way next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. When I was a kid and I was collecting baseball cards, you would get a pack of them for 10 cents and you got 10 cards. So a lot of times you would open up a pack and you would get doubles, but at a penny a card, it wasn't, you weren't taking a great hit. Now it's a couple of bucks a pack. I think you still get 10 cards.
That's a lot. I'm pretty sure.
But think about that. If you get a pack that's all doubles, you know, you're down a couple of bucks. That's too much.
Don't you trade it?
Yeah, you would trade with somebody.
Would you ever get really excited when you would open a pack and there'd be like a misprint in it?
Yeah.
And then be like ultra rare?
That was always fun. Yeah. What we would do is, my friends and I, we would ride our bikes to the Jewel, and we would go up. They had the baseball cards by the checkout, you know, when you were in line. So we would take a handful of them, and then we'd go to the back of the store, and we would lift open part of the wrapper, because the wrappers were sealed.
Cheaters.
But we would just open a little bit just to see who that first guy was, to make sure at least the first guy was somebody we needed, and then we would base our purchase on that. For some reason, I had a lot of Boog Powell. I don't know why. I had over 3,000
great baseball
Boog
name.
Powell cards. I couldn't get rid of them. I would say, I'll trade you anybody. I just want one guy. I'll give you 20 Boog Powells for anybody. You could draw a picture of a baseball player. I'll trade you 20 Boog Powells for a picture of a baseball player.
How do you spell Boog?
The traditional way.
B-O-O-G?
Yeah, Boog Powell. I think that was a nickname. I don't remember there being any reference to Boog other than Boog Powell. And then my mom, like, because, you know, everybody has that same sad story of having an incredible baseball card collection and then their mom throws it away. I used to beg my mom, like, my mom was so sure, I was so sure that my mom at some point was just going to toss them in the middle of the night. Many times when she'd come in and kiss me goodnight, I'd go, goodnight, Mom, promise me, hand to God, you will not throw my baseball card collection away. No, I'm not going to throw it away.
And you still have them?
I still have them.
But you're not saving them in any way to like sell them or make money from them, are you?
I'm not sure why I'm still saving them. About once or twice a year, I'll open up. They're in huge boxes because I'm not kidding. I bet I have 25,000 cards. I just have so many of them. Most of them Boog Powell, but then there's other ones that are not Boog Powell. I have two separate boxes. One just says BP on it. That's Boog Powell. And then the rest, smaller box with the rest. I'm not sure. I mean, in my head, it's like if I have sons, they'll want these.
Do they?
And I don't mean to separate, but my daughters have no interest in them at all.
And it's not just sons. I mean, there are some women now or girls that are way into
baseball.
Absolutely. But it's because I have, you know, two boys that aren't 100% into baseball.
Yeah.
Although you mentioned that, and they have had some great pleasure looking through those cards because Jimmy Mack has, I don't know if he has as much as you have, but it's just you guys holding on to your youth is what it is.
That's exactly what it is. And I do, I mean, honestly, when I go through them, I always go, oh, I forgot about that guy, or look at the mustache on that guy, or how do you say this guy's name? Billy Grabarkowitz? There was an infielder named Billy, the Cubs had him for a year, Billy Grabarkowitz, and that was a big debate. I don't even say this guy's name, you know? And then we'd laugh if somebody had a swear word in their name, like Brian Esselstyn always made us laugh. Because his name starts with ASS. So that was good for hours of entertainment.
Boy, kids are so cute. You haven't grown up that
much,
have you?
I'm exactly the same. Yeah.
All right. We have to take a quick break, and we are going to get going on the Wintrust business lunch. We have strict orders. We have to get this off to a great start and a timely start.
Oh, all right. We can do that. All right. So we'll talk to Steve in just a little bit and find out what he has coming up on the Wintrust business lunch. It's Bill and Wendy. And Boog Powell on WGN. On WGN, there we are.
I have to get situated. My computer is not working. All right, there we go.
Everything's okay now?
No, but I don't know why Steve Bertrand sabotages us all the time. Your button is always down.
Steve Bertrand is out to ruin us. And I love Steve and you love Steve, but deep down you know his goal is to ruin us.
Well, you know what we could do?
What's that?
The wacky DJ stunt where we board ourselves up in the studio and not let him come in for the business lunch.
I'll do that. If you want to do that, I will do. You want to do that tomorrow or Thursday? What day is better for you?
We could do it tomorrow.
All right.
We'll just barricade ourselves in the studio and then we'll go up on a billboard.
All right.
Like, not our pictures. We'll just go up on
you
the billboard.
You and I will be physically on a billboard. All right. And that'll take place again either tomorrow or Thursday.
Can you make sure I get out of the studio first?
You don't want I
want to eat lunch and stuff.
All right.
I'll bring lunch for everybody. I made turkey roll-ups the other day.
No, I'm out.
You know what? I hope to God you never go hungry.
Bow, bow, bow. Hey, bow, bow,
bow, bow, bow, bow. I hope you never go hungry because I will never share my food with you.
All right. Won't that look good on a resume that you let me just starve to death?
Why won't you eat stuff I make? What if I make baked goods?
I won't eat it.
You eat stuff from Mary and Kim.
Yes, I do. It's delicious every time. Kim, thanks. She's brought in some stuff. Mary brings in delicious stuff. I don't know. I just trust them more, I think. I don't know what it is.
I would now, because anything I make for you, I will poison.
Just to prove a point. He knew Bill's dead. Well, what happened? Well, he knew Wendy would poison him, and she did. So he was right, and now he's dead. That's how it'll end. You know, one of my daughters pointed out something, by the way. She doesn't like that people casually throw the word starving around, that on a daily basis you just go, how are you? I'm starving. Because she says...
Is this Reese?
Yeah.
I know.
How did you know that it was Reese?
Because Reese cares about
sensitive.
Everyone and everything in the world.
She's the most sensitive person I've ever met, most caring.
And Kylie cares about people, too, but not as
nowhere
many
near
things.
As much.
Yeah, and yes.
Not even close.
Yep.
The other day, Terry said something, and she said, and we'll do that, and we have to do it fast because I'm starving. And Reese said, you know, I think we all just need to scale back on that word because it really... It's not fair to people who are legitimately starving. There's people on the planet who are starving, and it waters down their plight. And I had never thought of it that way.
She is going to be the new Mother Teresa. Mother Reese. See, Teresa?
Right, it's very similar. We didn't plan it that way. It's just similar.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she pulls stuff like that out all the time. Stuff that, like, I don't know. I think most of us, we just, like, how many, you've heard the word starving a million times. You don't think it that deep. You just go, that just means you're really hungry. But I guess there's something to that.
Because we're lucky enough to have never really been
starving.
That's
what it is. That's what it is.
We all take things for granted because we're very fortunate.
Right. And can I, as long as we're on that same thought, let me share this story with you. And I would love to hear what your thoughts are because I guess I said the wrong thing.
What'd you
but
do
you
now?
Tell me, all right? We ate in a restaurant the other night, and it's my wife, it's Terry and I, and Kylie. It's just the three of us. And
Reese was out saving someone.
She was out.
Right. She was busy.
She was at the library erasing the word starving from dictionaries. She does that once a week. She goes to libraries and she erases words like starving. All right. So we run into a friend of ours, a guy that I've known for years, and he's by himself. And we talk to him for a little while, and then Terry says, hey, how is, and mentions his girlfriend, and he gets this ashen look on his face. And I go, uh-oh, what happened? What happened there? And he goes, well, it looks like we may no longer be together. So... That you got a sad moment right there, obviously, as he just confesses that his girlfriend of several years and he are probably no longer together. So then I say, and I think this is a good question, oh no, did you break up with her or did she break up with you?
What are you, back in the schoolyard?
But isn't
Who
that
cares?
A,
that's so personal. He obviously doesn't want to talk about it. You know,
that's what I was told by every member of my family. But I thought that was a great question because it... That would influence the rest of how our conversation would go.
And that's going to make him feel better how?
Because
I got dumped or I had to break up with her because she hated me.
Well, I didn't think, I would hope it wouldn't be that extreme, but I would then take, like if he said, here's the two, well, I guess there's three scenarios. She broke up with me, I broke up with her, or we mutually decided to break up, right?
Does it matter?
Yeah, because then I would have handled the
rest of... It's not about you.
No, I know, but it was an awkward moment where he just, you know, said, I'm no longer with my girlfriend. And I care enough. If I didn't care, I would have said, boy, how about those Cubs? You know, but I did.
I know, but you kind of went one step further because Terry said, oh, how's your girlfriend? And we're not seeing each other anymore.
Yeah.
At that point, you almost should just go, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
And then move on.
Yeah, but you're like, what happened? Who broke up with who? Did you ask him to join you?
I don't know. Please. But then I asked, a worse question.
Oh, God.
Because I was on a roll, and I figured, why stop now as long as I've already... Wendy, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to ask that question until we got in the car, and I was bombarded with, you don't ask anybody that? But I would, if the tables were turned, if I had run into him and I was by myself, and he would have seen me, I would have been okay with answering that
question.
Not if
his whole family's there. And again, if you were
so... My whole family wasn't there, just... 75% of my family was there.
It's different if you would run into him one-on-one on the street and you go, hey, how's your girlfriend? Looks like it's over.
Right.
Then you can go, oh, my God. What happened? You want to go grab some coffee? I don't drink coffee, but we could go to a coffee
but
place.
You could have coffee.
Because then you could spend some time. This is just like... You're so, oh, yeah, I'm here with my family. I'm going to sit down because I have a wife who loves me. We're not split up. I've got one of my two daughters here. Who broke up with who?
I thought that was a legitimate question, but I have now been told by everyone that that was not. And then...
Usually I side with you, too. I do, because I like Bono.
But then I asked a worse question.
Oh, God.
Can I tell you what it is in a minute?
Can we take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break, and then I will tell you what not to ask of a friend who has just broken up.
Did you talk to Sinead O'Connor before she went missing?
Yeah, for a little while.
It's your fault.
All right, we'll take a break, and then I'll explain what not to ask when somebody has broken up with someone that they loved. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. All right, what started out as what I thought was a nice question to a friend, a longtime friend, who I just found out. A quick catch-up on the story. One of my daughters and my wife and I out at a restaurant, and we ran into a friend. He's by himself. We ask where his girlfriend is. He explains to my family, or three-quarters of it anyway, that he and his girlfriend are no longer together. I ask who broke up with who.
Wait, you did ask that? I thought you just said, oh, what happened?
No, I said, did she break up with you, or did you break up with her? I thought that was a good question, but then I topped it, apparently. He said some things, and we said some things. You've been in a conversation. You know how that gets. Somebody says something,
yes.
Somebody else goes, and now it's my turn, and I'll
say
something.
Very uncomfortable in this situation.
Right. Then he said, because we were talking about how at some point in your life, you try to figure out if it's the relationship that you'll get married. And we were wondering if maybe that was his relationship or not.
Did you say this to him?
No, I was. Terry was doing that thing with my, I don't know if you ever have played this game. It's called the squeeze the hand real tight game.
Which means shut up.
Yeah. So, all right.
So despite the fact that Terry's squeezing your hand...
I thought she loved me. I thought that that meant she loved me. So then this was the, I guess, the worst part of our conversation is that he said, he explained how old he is. He's a little bit younger than we are, but not a lot younger than we are. I said, well, do you want to have children?
What? I swear to God, I almost said WTF on the radio.
That was a great question. Because
why now? Why pull that out now?
What better time? Because
every other time.
But we were talking about the long-lasting potential of a relationship, and then if tables were turned, I would start to think about that at that point in my life. Like, do I want to have kids? Is this the person I want to have kids with?
They're not going out anymore.
Well, I know, but...
So even if it is the right woman, it's not working out right now.
But to my point then, that's my way of saying to him, well, then you better get on it.
So go jump on someone and impregnate someone?
No. But I can imagine that reaching a certain plateau in your life,
men
and you
can
want
father
kids,
children whenever.
Oh, I know that. I know that.
This would be worse if you said it to a woman.
I would never.
Oh, did you want to have kids?
I would never say that to a woman.
Because your eggs are hard boiled, honey.
I would
Snap.
Never. I wouldn't even think to say that to anybody.
Well, you pretty much just did.
Not about the eggs and the snap. I wouldn't do that. I would not do that in the hard-boiled part. I don't even know how to... I wouldn't... No. But I thought that these questions were me showing interest. Because I do.
If
I care about him. If you're
sitting one-on-one, you hadn't asked him to join you yet at the table since he's sitting alone?
Well, he was technically with us for a little bit. Yeah. I mean, he... But then once I heard about his relationship breaking up and no kids, I said, go sit somewhere else. We will not have you at our table. I thought those questions were legitimate questions, but then I was bombarded in the car with, you can't ask anybody those questions. But I still think that they fit under the bracket of, I care about him. I don't want him to be...
Then you say, I am so sorry to hear about this. Hey, let's get together. Maybe you need someone to talk to.
Right.
You don't just, in a restaurant, going, who dumped who?
But
don't you want to have kids? You're getting old.
I didn't say that. But those questions led to... how I would handle the rest of the conversation. Those are pertinent questions, aren't they?
All right, so what if he says, yes, I do want to have kids? Then what would you say?
I would make a clock ticking sound.
You're a bad friend.
I would do the 60 minutes beginning. I'm Morley Safer. I'm Dan Rather. I would do that for a little while. I wasn't being malicious.
No, I know you weren't.
I was just asking what I thought were... I mean, those are important questions. Like, if I was in his shoes, I would start to ask myself those questions. So I thought...
I'm sure he's asking himself those questions.
He probably is. He probably is.
If you say, you know, hey, where's your girlfriend? Oh, it's not happening anymore.
So then what's the next step
once
you hear that?
Then you go, oh my God, I am so sorry to hear that. Hey, you want to join us? You want to get together?
Right.
You don't go right into, who broke up with who? I'm 8 years old.
No, you're reading it wrong. You're reading it wrong. I thought that by asking, I
you
know
you
can
tell by his emotion that he was broken
up with. I
could
tell by his emotions he wanted to talk about it. Like if I sensed at all he didn't want to talk about it, I would have brought up something 100% different. But I could tell he's like, well, since you asked, here's a little bit of what went on. You know.
So who broke up with who?
That was not answered.
But yet you went on to say, don't you want to have kids?
I didn't say, don't you want to have kids? I said, would you like to have kids someday?
You are kicking a man when he's down.
No. I don't think I'm kicking a man when he's down. If I was in that same situation, I ran into people and they just were asking the same basic questions. I go, well, they're just going through the motions. They don't really care. But I was asking them the questions that I wanted to know, that I thought, if I know the answers to these, I can talk to them about this. It'd be easier to talk to him knowing those things.
Well, you make a little private time with him.
I guess I could. It was just all so, like, I didn't expect any of that to happen. It was all very
hey,
sudden.
Really, Mr. Stand-Up? Life is not always predictable.
No, I know that. But, I mean, I know in the past, like, long before I met Terry, if I was in a breakup situation, I've been asked similar questions. I wouldn't hold back.
When a family comes up to your table, you're sitting by yourself drowning your sorrows, and one of your friends comes up with their wife and one of their daughters and said, hey, where's the Chiquita, Bill? And you're like, oh, yeah, it's not happening.
Who do you think I hang out with? Who are my friends would
Rita
talk
Moreno.
Like that? All right, I've had situations where Rita Moreno has approached me and said that. Where's the Chiquita?
That was probably not the right time. And plus, who cares who broke up with who? By the looks of the despondent friend, it sounds like he was the one who was dumped.
I'm starting to think that's what happened.
Oh, my God.
I'm not positive, but I'm starting to think that's what happened.
You're a genius.
But I was told in the car for 25 minutes that that line of questioning was unacceptable.
At that particular moment, yes.
Right. And when could I ask those questions again?
Like if you just said, hey, buddy, I'm really
If it was a one-on-one.
Or you say, God, I am so sorry to hear that. Yeah. Do you want to get together? Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah.
I know that's probably not something a guy would do.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like something I would do.
Yeah, but
I would
who
wanna...
broke up with who? And do you want to have children someday?
But those weren't back-to-back.
How much time?
At least a minute and a half.
Oh, my God.
Maybe 2 minutes.
Maybe if he was better at answering questions, he'd still have a girlfriend.
There's
you guys
that.
Are jerks.
No.
Yes.
No. Why? All right. If it were two women in a similar situation, you wouldn't have asked. Like, let's say you've known this girl. I'm trying to think of about how long I've known this guy. 6 years, 7 years. So
you don't hang out on a regular basis. Agreed.
Not a regular basis.
Have you ever gone out one-on-one with him?
No.
Okay.
No.
So I guess that's why you didn't want to make a one-on-one date with him. A mandate.
Right.
If I walked up to someone that I was friends with, but acquaintances, I didn't really hang out with them on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, where's, you know, Billy? Oh, we broke up. I'd be, oh, honey, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'd say.
I did ask if he was okay.
At the end of asking all these questions?
Twice, I think. Toward the beginning and toward the end.
Did he answer that?
Right before you left, did you say, are you still okay?
I think I did say it's still okay.
Oh, my God. All right. Whatever.
I think. And then he should have asked me if I was okay, because I got, you know, in the car, my wife and daughter are like, you don't ask a guy questions like that. I guess not. I didn't know that at the time. I'm being more careful now.
No, you won't. You'll do it again.
I don't think I would do it again, because I didn't know. Like, I was presenting those as, I want to know what happened, and once I know what happened, maybe I can help you through it a little bit. I wasn't trying to be malicious at all. You know that, right?
No, I know that. You weren't being
a jerk.
And
I wasn't ripping on him. And I wasn't even going to do, like, if he said point blank, well, she broke up with me, I wasn't going to do that. Well, you don't need her. You can do better. I wasn't going to do any of that.
What would you have done?
I don't know. I just needed a fuller picture of what happened.
You're not his psychologist.
I know that.
Did you pull up a couch?
Yeah. He was reclined. And I was smoking a cigar.
Oh, my God.
Is that what psychologists do?
I don't think you can smoke inside anywhere anymore.
I didn't know that.
Well, kudos to you.
Thank you. Do you mean that? I don't think you mean that. All right. A quick break. Steve with the news. And then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
This is like a musical party.
Isn't this beautiful? When I first got my iPod back in the 1940s, it was very early, it was a wooden iPod. That's when they started making Nelly. This song, David, your song, David, was the second or third song that I bought and downloaded.
Oh, no kidding.
It really was. Nelly Mackay is here. She's performing in town at the City Winery tonight. An honor to meet you. I've been such a fan for such a long time.
Oh, well, thank you. This is such a lovely treat. I've heard you on the airwaves, and so it's nice.
And you decided to come in anyway.
Oh,
that's crazy. How does that happen? You know, when I first heard you, Wendy and I years ago worked with a guy named Kevin Matthews at another radio station, and Kevin had you on. This is about 10 or 12 years ago. You were a guest on his show, and I didn't even hear you sing. I just heard you talk. And I thought, wow, you're like unlike anything I'd ever heard before.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I hope.
Well, led by a trail of incense and a little voice at the back of your brain that's whispering, nice try, 60s. Is that what's going on?
Oh, I hope not. I mean, I hope not. I'm all wrinkled because I was out in the rain yesterday going door to door for Bernie in Louisville.
So you're a Bernie Sanders fan.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's the spirit of the 60s that's resonating with a new generation. I mean, these 17-year-olds are incredible. And my field officer down there, Carly, was 18 years old.
Wow.
She's just going. She's doing these 15-hour days. I mean, they're incredible.
Explain to us, because it's such an unlikely story, Bernie Sanders' story.
Yeah.
What is it about him that's getting young kids, essentially, late teenagers, early 20s, why are they so excited about Bernie Sanders and his message, do you think?
Well, I think he has integrity, and I think they can sense it. You know, they respond to someone who's truthful, who's honest, who has an authenticity about him. And then there's, you know, the actual words, which is that money shouldn't be in politics. The government shouldn't answer more to the corporations than the people. And also, we're starting out life so burdened with debt. I'm a dropout.
Yeah.
And I've had a fair bit of success in life. I'm still paying off my student loan.
Right.
I mean, these kids, this turns into a lifelong debt.
But do you think what he's hoping to do in making school either affordable or free, is that realistic? Could that ever really happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the it's tuition-free public university or college, so it's not going to be, you know, Harvard or Yale.
Yeah.
It's, what you have is you have a system where a number of large corporations pay nothing in tax. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to tax that. We need to tax Wall Street speculation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we can make some cuts, not to things like veterans benefits, which are very important. You know, we owe them so much, but to the defense spending, we can, you know, put that towards healthcare, put that towards education. This has majority support in America.
Yeah.
You are so well-rounded. Nellie Mackay in the studio. She's going to be at the City Winery tonight. You are an actress, a musician, and now stumping for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I don't know about the first one.
No, you are. We've seen you in things. You've done a nice job. What's the movie? You were Hilary Swank's sister in a movie. What was the movie?
Right, P.S. I Love You.
That's it.
Harry Connick Jr., also in the movie, also maybe not. You know, I mean,
he holds up as an actor too, though. You're selling yourself short. You guys are both good.
Well, he's better than me. He cracks me up. I hate to give it to him, but he does.
All right, I see you have an ukulele, is how they say it in Hawaii. Would I be correct in saying that?
Oh, yeah, Hawaii. Yes.
A yeah. Ukulele in your hand,
yeah.
Or are you just happy to see us?
Both.
All right. I love the ukulele. It has been an awesome little instrument. I know Tiny Tim did some stuff on it.
Sure.
But then, do you remember the Hawaiian Israel Kalikiimaka or whatever his name is, who really brought it home with Somewhere Over a Rainbow? It's like I've always wanted to play the ukulele after hearing him. How many years have you been playing this?
Oh,
little girl?
Yeah, long enough to play better. I mean, it was. I was doing the Throppney Opera, and Jim Dale, who was a great music hall star, he played my dad, Polly Peachum's father, Mr. Peachum, and I was bugging him, so he gave me the uke, hoping it would make me stay in my dressing room, and instead I would just come to his dressing room and bother him some more. So it backfired.
Do you walk around with a ukulele all the time?
I love it. Yeah. They always have fun at airport security.
Sure they do. Of course they do. But it seems an unlikely instrument for a young girl to decide, I love music, I think that'll be my instrument. Why, of all the instruments, why that one?
Well, it's easier on the fingers and it's easier on the ego.
I guess so, yeah.
And more portable than a big-ass guitar.
Yeah,
of course. You don't. And again, with the airport, you know, if you're late to the plane, they don't ask you to stow it.
Right.
You can always have a seat.
That's true.
Yeah.
But beyond the ukulele, there's other instruments that you know how to play, correct?
Oh, I love the marimba.
Yeah?
Very hard to travel with.
Oh, yeah. Impossible. Sure.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I love the piano.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, it's a good excuse, really, not to practice, because you can't travel with one.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Very, very smart.
You have the little portable keyboards, and I bet you can pull one up on your iPhone.
Yeah.
Little keyboard.
Oh, but I don't have I have an old phone I can
take. Oh, you
take.
Have, like, is that a flip phone?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's pre-flip phone.
I like you so much more now. I liked you when you walked in, but I like you so much more now.
Can I tell you that is just really great to see you not like jumping into the world of a smartphone? Mm-hmm. Although you do have a Facebook presence and a website, how do you get to that? Do you have a computer in that ukulele?
Oh no, I have this great vegan pilot that I met years ago at an event for Ralph Nader, actually. And
look at you.
And he does all the computer stuff. I just call him up and, you know, he jokes that he's going to post naked pictures of himself, but he hasn't done it yet.
Is that a good thing, Nellie? That's probably a good thing, isn't it?
Oh, it depends on your taste.
Since you brought up Ralph Nader, he said at one point, never trust anyone over 35. I don't know how old you are, but I'm guessing somewhere in the spectrum of 30.
Right.
So does that still hold true as we're all around 35 to not trust anyone over 35?
It's funny. I always thought it was in the baby boomers I know was always never trust anyone under 40.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But now with this election, it's really coming back. Because the baby boomers gave us so much. They think that they lost, but they didn't. They won.
Yeah.
They gave us the Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, Endangered Species, all the rights movements, you know, civil rights legislation, women's rights legislation. And it's just astonishing. They were the only generation to stop a war.
Right.
And they don't give themselves credit. I think they've kind of been brainwashed into thinking the 60s was a failure. In fact, it's given us so much that is good in the modern world.
All right. Who is in charge of your Facebook page? Because they haven't updated it. It says you're going to be at the City Winery in Chicago tomorrow. It's tonight.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, that's dreadful. Well, you get on the blower.
You got to give him a free night, Nelly. This is fair. You got to give him a free night.
All right.
All right.
Hey, if I get to stay in Chicago.
Yeah, then there's worse stuff than that.
Yeah.
Can we take a quick break and then get a song or two from you? Is that all right?
Oh, yes.
All right. Nelly McKay is here. She's performing tonight. I know a lot of people think it's tomorrow, but it's tonight at the City Winery. We'll give you all the information in just a little bit. CityWinery.com is your website. Back after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. We said Nelly McKay is here. She is singer, songwriter, actress, recent recipient of the PETA Humanitarian Award. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. You're an animal lover. You're a Bernie Sanders lover. Does Bernie have a pet?
Oh, yeah, good question.
You better find out.
I think he would tell it about the rigged economy.
Right.
But,
right.
But his dog or cat would admire his worldview and his vision. Very
I
inspiring.
See him with an ocelot for some reason, Nelly. I could be wrong, but that's what
he
I see.
He kind of looks like an ocelot.
A little bit, maybe a little
And they're
bit.
Very cute. Yeah. Nelly's going to be appearing at the City Winery tonight. 6 o'clock doors open. It's an 8 p.m. start. You can go to citywinery.com or call 312-733-WINE. And your website is NellieMackay.com, although it looks like it's NellieMackay.com.
Right, sure.
You're going with the Scottish pronunciation.
Oh, sure, for the Scots community in southwest Chicago.
It's kind of you to do. All right, you said you agreed. You can't turn back now. You said you would do a song for us. What song is coming?
Well, I don't know if you might recognize this. It's a bit of an oddity.
Let's hear.
If I fell in love with you, would you promise to be true and help me understand? 'Cause I've been in love before and I found that love was more than just holding hands. If I give my heart to you, I must be sure from the very start that you would love me more than her. If I trust in you, oh please don't run and hide. If I love you too, oh please don't hurt my pride like her. 'Cause I couldn't stand the pain, and I would be sad if I knew love was in vain. So I hope you see that I would love to love you, and that she will cry when she learns we are two. 'Cause I couldn't stand the pain, and I would be sad if I knew love was in vain. So I hope you see that I would love to love you, and that she will cry when she learns we are two. If I fell in love with you.
That was magical.
Wow. That's beautiful.
I just wrote that.
You wrote that song?
She is Nelly McKay. She's going to be at the City Winery tonight. You have an amazing sense of humor. I want to share some of Nelly's bio from her website, NellieMackay.com. That's how it's spelled, M-C-K-A-Y. But pronounce McKay. I love these quotes about, is this about My Weekly Reader, the new record?
That's right, yes.
This is Robin Williams says, if I was a duck, I'd swim in this record.
Oh, wow.
Joan Rivers, a quote, I don't listen to that kind of music anyway.
Oh.
This is a quote, we played this album at my wedding. Nelly's a lot of fun. Charles Manson. Dick Cheney, I see an audit in her future. Yes. Oh my God, you are really funny and quirky and talented.
I can verify that last quote. Yes.
You made fun of your own acting skills, Nellie, and incorrectly, because you're a fine actress, but your mom has a little bit of a history in the cinema, doesn't she?
Oh, yes, yes.
She's been in some big movies. She was in The Shining. She was in Superman 2. That's impressive.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, she says, catch you later, Clark.
She says that to Superman. Well, yeah. To Clark Kent. Yeah. Well,
she says that to everyone now.
Right. That's her catchphrase. So if asked, you would do more movies, wouldn't you? You wouldn't stop making movies.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You think a big... Is Oprah listening?
Yeah, Oprah's listening right now.
Sure. Oh, good.
We've tried to get Oprah on the show forever.
Not easy, no.
Oh, no.
Not easy.
I can imagine. Letterman couldn't get Oprah.
No, I know. How about that?
Oh, no. Do you know Daryl Roberts, though?
Who is, no, I don't know who that is. Who is that?
He's a documentarian and filmmaker, and he's based in Chicago. He's great.
Is he? Yeah.
We'll get him, maybe.
Let's try to get Daryl Roberts.
Yeah,
all right.
He's sensational.
You talked us into it. You moved here from England when you were how old?
About 2, 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have some memories of living there in England, right?
Yeah. Top of the morning to you. Is that Irish? I don't know.
They say that in England. Yeah, people
sure
in England
they
say
do.
That.
Well, that would explain the lack of accent since you've been in the States since you were 2.
Bloody good show.
And how cool is it your movie or your music has been featured on Mad Men, Boardwalk Empire, a bunch of different places.
Oh, sure. I've been bugging Matthew Weiner about Bernie.
Yeah, really?
Bugging all of them. Julia Louis-Dreyfus made the mistake of giving me her number. I've been bugging her.
To get on Veep?
Oh, no. It's never about showbiz, but they still don't want to talk to me.
Like, well, here, give us her number and we'll call her for you.
Yeah, we'll talk to her.
You are just a gem. You really are. You are going to be at the City Winery tonight. You can go to citywinery.com. Can you do another song for us on that?
Sure. Is there any particular style or
do it like that one you wrote a little while ago, that off the top of your head one? Do something like that. That's sensational.
You don't mind if it's another English?
Whatever then. You got, sure.
Don't let the sun catch you crying. The night's the time for all your tears. Your heart may be broken tonight, but tomorrow in the morning light, don't let the sun catch you crying. The nighttime shadows disappear, and with them go all your tears. For the morning will bring joy to every girl and boy. So don't let the sun catch you crying. We know that crying's not a bad thing, but stop your crying when the birds sing. It may be hard to discover that you've been left for another. But don't forget that love's a game, and it can always come again. So don't let the sun catch you crying. Don't let the sun catch you crying, oh no. Ooh.
What a breath of fresh air. I want to ask Nellie Mackay if she will move into our house, because I fight a lot with my husband and my two teenage boys, and after listening to that, I don't think we would ever yell at each other again.
Impossible to be mad at anyone.
You bring us peace.
Oh, how many bathrooms do you have?
That's
the
decider.
Two and a half.
Oh,
yeah?
Two and a half?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not... Oh, I don't mean for me. I just mean... To calibrate when the fights will pick up.
Oh,
again.
Yeah. There'd be more if there were less bathrooms.
Oh, yeah.
But Nellie, I would just like to sit on a beach somewhere, anywhere, and have you playing next to me. That would be fantastic.
Oh,
clear your calendar, whatever you're doing. I want you to just come to the beach.
Oh, okay. Maybe you shouldn't come to the show tonight, though, because we got all kinds of spicy tunes in there,
too. Oh, yeah?
Too.
All right. I'm in.
Yeah. I couldn't think of one fast enough.
That's all right. You don't have to do spice. The love songs were beautiful.
Oh.
Boy,
people are
good.
Loving you. Everyone's saying, Bill, Wendy, please ask her to call me. Here's another text. I think I'm in love.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's this. Music is like a gourmet meal, simple yet pure. Sweet and melodious voice. You are really amazing.
You're so good.
Oh, gee.
I
want to move in here, too.
All right. We'll find space for you. Have fun tonight at the Sittery Winery and promise us whenever you're in town, you'll stop by.
Oh, please.
Can you do it?
And likewise, I hope.
Absolutely.
Call us if
Absolutely.
Bernie wins, because I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Oh, right. That's right. Hey, we'll come to Philly at the convention.
He may name you as vice president. I would love... The country's in good shape if you're the vice president. It's Nellie McKay. Go see her before she becomes vice president of the United States. She's at the City Winery tonight. You want to go to citywinery.com.
1200 West Randolph. Sorry, just wanted to mention that.
Yep. Thank you, Nellie. Great to meet you.
Thank you.
A quick break and then the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. And I hope that I was a lot more aware of Nellie Mackay and her work than you were. And
I never heard of her.
You had never heard of her, right? I've been listening to her for years. And I said, trust
me
when I tell you.
Aren't you ahead of the curve?
You will enjoy her. And she did not disappoint, correct?
I have to read some of these comments from our text line at 312-981-7200. She's done, her movie, music has been featured in a bunch of shows. NCIS, Mad Men, Boardwalk Empire. Someone wanted to know if she did the intro for the Amazon show King in the High Castle. And all I have to tell you here is this text says it all. That's the first time I've heard her voice. What is her name again? Her voice is just so soothing. Please text me her name. Nellie Mackay.
McKay. It looks like McKay, but it's pronounced Mackay.
But we asked her that, and she said the Scottish pronunciation is Mackay. But then when I asked her about it on the air, she acted like, oh, yeah, right, I'm going to go the Scottish route. But she is.
Yeah.
And then someone put... Oh,
although I think MC is Irish. I think MAC is Scottish, isn't
yeah.
it? Right? Yeah.
I don't really question anything she says, because she's just pure.
Yeah.
And innocent.
And seems to be, and I enjoy this in a person, lost in time. You know?
Yeah.
Like the whole time we were talking to her, I didn't know if it was present day or 1956. I couldn't figure out what time we were in. And I love that.
It
I'm
is
a big
pretty
fan of
cool.
that. The thing with the phone, she has a phone that's from a decade ago. And I like that.
Oh, more than that.
You know, right. At least 10 years, 12, 15 years.
You wanted
years.
It. You were actually jealous. You wanted to trade your stupid Windows phone that you don't know how
right.
it works.
Right.
And, you know, she said, we'll set you up if you guys want to go to the City Winery. 6 p.m. open tonight. The doors open. 8 p.m. start. It's 1200 West Randolph. First of all, I love City Winery. I would love to go there. We just had Art Alexakis, who was in, who played there.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I got it. My son has a choir concert the last of the year. And she goes, oh, you're sweet little angel.
Mm-hmm.
She's just, I need her. I don't want to take anti-anxiety anymore. I just want to take Nellie Mackay.
Just have her near you.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Somebody right here. This says it all. 630 has texted us. Miss Mackay had this death metal fan thinking of kitties and butterflies.
That
Loved
does,
it.
That says it all. Doesn't
it? It's just innocence.
Yeah.
And I don't know how Bernie's going to do, though.
Oh, Bernie Sanders? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
But to have passion for something, good for her.
Yeah.
I have no passions anymore. I'm too busy to
what
have
happened?
Passions.
Where'd the passions go?
I have no downtime. And just being around her, I feel like I've just had, you know, smoked a big doob or taken like a down. I just feel like relaxed.
Are you going to drive when the show is over? I'm worried about you now.
I'd like her to be in my passenger seat.
I don't know if that's a good idea. The ride would be too gentle. I don't trust you.
What was it on SNL? There was a bit during the holidays. It was a family getting together for the holidays, and anytime politics were brought up and people were going to start fighting, Adele music swelled.
You want that?
I want her to be like, I'm going to pipe it into every speaker in my house.
Right.
I just want Nellie Mackay playing all through my house. We're all going to be like completely chill.
Yeah. Why not? I think that's the right move.
Wow.
All right.
Thank you for her.
I knew you'd like her. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we have more show for you. It's Bill Leffin and Wendy Snyder on WGN. This is something that every year as Bike to Drive comes up, I say to myself, why have I not done this?
Because you don't really ride a bike that much?
No. In the summer, I ride a bike all the time, and I've always wanted to. Like, just the thought of being in a place like Lakeshore Drive where normally you can't do it, it's so appealing to me. When I was a kid, one of my fantasies, the fantasy I can talk about on the air anyway, was to ride my bike through my school. I always thought, wouldn't that be fun to just have your bike and just ride around the hallways of your school? But, you know, the principal saw otherwise.
What, would you put, like, plywood on the stairs so it would turn into ramps?
No, my school, St. Damien's School, was all on one level.
Oh, the Catholics couldn't afford the steps.
Yes. I know there's some tie-in to sinning, but I'm not sure what it is.
You'd look up a girl's skirt.
Yeah,
that's
I guess that's probably what it is.
Although, was it co-ed?
You kids know that stairs lead to looking up girls' dresses. We can't have stairs at St. Damien. Yeah, it was co-ed. Yeah. But I just thought, boy, wouldn't that be something to just go through the halls on a bicycle?
Yeah, because that floor was always so polished and shiny that you could just whip around.
Come on, MB. Bike the school next year, this time. I'm in.
All right. I went, can we just do a little TSA talk? I'm concerned with travels because we're now being told to get to the airport 3 hours in advance.
Right. 3 hours early.
For domestic flights.
Right.
That's like the entire length of Gilligan's Island tour.
A three-hour tour.
A three-hour line.
I know.
Somebody just texted us earlier in the day in show number one, and we can still have this happen, 312-981-7200. Say you're going to the airport right now, either O'Hare or Midway. If you get to the security line and you're finished before 3 o'clock, let us know how long it took. Midway Airport, I just want to tell you right now, 630 says TSA, 7 p.m. flight to Arizona today. Went to the airport early. That's way early because the flight is until 7 tonight. Mm. Due to TSA concerns, got through TSA in 15 minutes. This is at Midway.
That's not bad.
Now on a flight at 3 o'clock instead of 7, so bonus.
Oh, that is nice.
So that totally was turning that frown upside down.
Now, that's all contingent, of course, on there being open seats in any earlier flights.
Right.
Because that doesn't always happen. It's getting rarer and rarer.
Yes. I also looked up, if you go to TSA.gov, you can apply for TSA PreCheck, and I know I've been hemming and hawing, and I don't know if I should do this or not because we're flying out in 3 weeks. You can complete an online application, or you can complete the entire process in person at various locations, one of them being Midway Airport. I'm assuming O'Hare has, you don't need a ticket to get to it.
Right.
It's just you have to park and go to the terminal and find out more information by TSA.gov. There's other places. There's a location on Higgins Road in Rosemont. Mm-hmm. There's one in Joliet where you can go and get everything done right then and there.
Well, Ryan Burrow has been on one of those sites for much of the day today.
We've tried, Steve, to get him on today.
That's why we're lifting his material because he won't talk to us.
He's a little booked up nationwide. You know, he's with the ABC News people. So.
And so, you know, he said several hours ago they stopped taking walk-ins. And
it says to make an appointment online or call a particular number. Again, just go to TSA.gov. Because the reason I bring this up is really check. We had a listener call earlier who was flying out of Jackson, Mississippi. Jackson Airport is not one that adheres to this TSA pre-check.
They don't allow it.
Yeah. So do yourselves a favor. It's $85 for 5 years. You get fingerprinted. You have to bring proper documentation. $85 fee for 5 years. That's each person in your family. It's per person. So if you have five people in your family, it's 5 times 85.
Yeah. You can do this.
$490 some dollars.
$425. That's all right. You were in the ballpark. Whatever. You were very close.
I can't do math on the fly.
That's right.
So if you think that's worth it, if you travel several times a year, it really may be worth it. $85 per person for a 5-year span.
Providing you're going through airports frequently,
right,
that do allow it.
We go once a year. So to me, I don't think it's worth it. Mm-hmm. And again, if more and more of these people are applying for a TSA pre-certification, those lines are going to get longer than, not longer than the other ones, but you're still going to be waiting. The only benefit, you don't have to take your shoes and belt off.
The caller who had, you don't have to take your pants off. That's up to you. Everybody should have that option if they want it. The lady earlier said that the people in line in front of her were kind and said, you know, she explained to people in front of her, I'm about to miss my flight. They just said last call. And the people in front of her said, yeah, if you want to go in front of us, you can. My guess is you're going to come across just as many surly people as you are polite people. If you're in line for 3 hours, I'm guessing that doesn't always play well with people.
And if, you know, you might be in risk of missing your flight.
Sure.
So why are you going to let somebody else?
Right.
How
no
much
good
did
deed
you say
goes
four
unpunished.
Times 85 was?
Wait, 85.
No, just
times
how much
five.
Did you say? You said 320, didn't you?
No, I said 425.
All right, well, you're wrong too. It's 340.
Would you two just quit it?
You're
always trying to correct everyone.
No, I am. Listen, I need to be corrected, and both you and Bill do it on a daily basis.
85 times 5 isn't...
times 4.
Oh, you said times 5.
Oh, well, then I don't care anymore.
That's why.
See?
Then
there we go.
I don't care anymore.
That's a fun thing you can do, though, in line at TSA is do math problems with each other.
No, that is not fun. That's going to ruin the whole vacation. Hi, Dave.
Hey. Hi, guys. How you doing? I listened to you this morning or earlier about the TSA problem, and I fly almost every week when I'm really on the go. And, you know, you come into Midway. I don't come into O'Hare at all. But I come into Midway, and those are incredibly long lines coming in. But I pretty much kept track of my flying time around the country, and I show up on the average of an hour ahead of time, an hour and a half ahead of time, and I'm through the lines almost all across the country in about a half hour to 45 minutes at the tops.
But now you're pre-certified, and, correct? You're
No, I'm not, but I fly business class all the time for Southwest, and I almost always get the TSA pre on my ticket because I'm a business class flyer. 80% of the time I'll have that automatically checked. So I didn't see it. I really don't see any need to do the TSA for $85 when I get it so much just from Southwest.
Can I ask you a question about Southwest, Dave? Because someone called earlier. I know you said you were listening, and they had a ticket that it was checked off the TSA pre-check. Does this just happen randomly?
Yes, it does. And if you talk to them, they have so many TSA pre-checks that they can offer per flight. You know, they have a limit. And so normally, the way I understand it is the people who are checking in earlier, who are the A-listers, have a better shot at getting those TSA pre-checks.
I never even looked on my ticket to see if it said that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it'll be right at the top. When you do that, the paper ticket, or if you do it on your device, you'll see it right at the top. It'll say TSA pre with a check. And, you know, that does get you over in that line. Now, the other callers were right, too. There are some airports that don't have the TSA pre-check line. In fact, the last time I was in Vegas, had some pretty decent lines. There was no TSA pre-check line. Everybody was just all down in three lines, and it was a little tougher. You know, I had TSA pre, but there wasn't any pre-check line. So,
when's the last time you flew?
Last time I flew was 2 weeks ago from Sacramento, and I'm on my way to Sacramento right now. I'll be flying out of Sacramento on Friday.
Because it seems like everything has hit the fan in the last few weeks. I know there's been an issue for quite some time, but it seems like everything is really getting bad since the last time you flew. So hopefully you'll get through quickly tonight, Dave.
Well, I'll be flying out Friday from Sacramento back to Midway on Friday evening. So, again, the time of day does make a big difference. I mean, it can get overloaded. But you said you weren't going to go for the TSA pre-check $85. you know, and if I was you, if I was only flying once a year, I probably wouldn't do it either. You know, I just don't think it'd be worth the extra bucks. But, you know, if you're flying out of O'Hare, that's just a nightmare there. That's why.
Yeah,
I don't
but Midway was the one where this guy he took video. He went through the line and then went back through it again or something,
right.
And it took over 3 hours to get through the TSA line at Midway.
Oh, I agree. When I come back there, you know, I'm always coming back to Midway. I'm not flying out of Midway. I always come back to Midway, and I tell you what, I've seen it all the way back, almost, you know, like over to the escalator area. It's just it's pretty ugly.
And Dave, if you're doing this for business, this is a tax write-off for you too, isn't it?
No,
it
I'm
isn't?
I'm working for a company where I drive vehicles all over the country. Then I fly back to Midway.
Oh, nice!
So I'm driving out and flying back.
Oh, all right.
Oh, that's cool. So, well, safe travels, okay, Dave. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. Love the show.
Thank you. I still think you could write that off, couldn't you? That's still business related. The travel.
No, because that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
He gets paid.
Right, to drive the car somewhere, but he has to come back. That's a
well. He doesn't have to.
I guess.
His
family would miss him.
I'm sure that's in his rider or contract or something. Like, you have to get the car to San Francisco.
Yeah.
You got to find your own way back.
But if he has a business expense,
this is the ultimate business expense.
I don't know. He said he couldn't. Why don't you call him back and go out to lunch with him?
Ask him.
Good God.
He's breaking up with his girlfriend.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, but I didn't want to.
He doesn't.
Ever if he wants kids. Listen, this is on everyone's minds, seriously, because summer vacation time is coming. Some schools are out in a week.
Right.
Some kids are out already. 312-981-7200. We're going to take a break, do some news. If you want to jump in, we'll talk about this because I don't know what to do, and I'm anxious to find out what global entry is. I thought that's what Buzz Aldrin did. When he came back into the atmosphere.
It is. All right, give us a call or a text. You will not be waiting 3 hours, I promise. 312-981-7200. It's us, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Oh, I see what you did there, Kevin Richter. Producer extraordinaire.
I just want to fly, but the lines are preventing you. Do you get it?
I love when Kevin doesn't just select music, but there's a good backstory. Kevin, well played.
I could do that more often.
Well played,
How about
sir?
Every time? Although what's really sweet is he'll go, see what I did there, guys?
Yes. Points it out.
Sometimes we don't get it. All right, we need to know about this global entry. It sounds weird, but people have been bringing this up all day. Ryan Burrow works here and also for ABC News, and he is too busy talking about TSA everywhere else on radio stations, so we are stealing his thunder and doing it here. Hi, Neil.
Hi, how are you? I'm a member of Global Entry, and the difference between TSA Pre and Global Entry is TSA Pre is administered through TSA, and Global Entry is administered through Customs and Border Protection. Now, TSA versus Customs and Border, TSA is not a law enforcement agency, okay? They have zero police powers, believe it or not. I guess I never really thought about it, but when I went for my... I found that... You know, I'll tell you how I found that out. So... When you global entry, what that does is that after you qualify for that, if you're traveling internationally with this global entry card, when you come back into America, you can bypass immigration. You go right to the kiosk, you stick your card in, you hold your passport in, boom, you're done, you're in, you bypass immigration. That's the first line you can bypass. Now everybody has to have their bags checked. You know, through customs, but global entry allows you to come in without going to see an immigration's officer.
All right. So, did you have to? Obviously, you had to pre-qualify and get fingerprinted and all that stuff.
This is what I had to do. You apply online first, okay, and then if you're approved, and then also global entry is $100 for 5 years instead of TSA. I think that's $85.
Yeah.
For 5 years. And it's not 85 a year, it's 85 or in global entry. Global entry is $100 for 5 years, or 20 bucks a year. So then once you're approved, then you have to schedule an interview. And then you have to go and interview with the federal customs officer, and he asks you all these questions, you know, and you're actually talking to a real federal, you know, I went down to the customs house in Chicago, but they don't offer them there anymore. Now they're just at the airports.
But they're asking you all the questions that they would normally ask you as you're going through customs and immigration. They're asking you those same.
He's looking at a screen and he's looking at things, asking you certain things about where you come from, you know, and there's a lot of information that they've already done. They've done some background on you. And then also when you're part of Global Entry, your criminal file is constantly being monitored. So, like, if you get arrested for anything, okay?
Yeah.
Your Global Entry card is pulled.
Oh, it is?
Immediately.
All right.
Immediately.
For anything? For, like...
Well, I think, you know, not anything, you know, not for jaywalking, but, you know, if there's every bit of a felony, you know, you do that for sure.
Yeah, felony.
But now you'd, violent. Yeah. You don't need this if you're not traveling internationally, though. If you're just going to Disney once a year, this would be something I wouldn't need.
No, but with Global Entry, you have the same privileges with TSA. So now what's really nice is that since I was Global Entry, I fly a lot with Southwest. When I fly with my family, usually TSA pre everybody in my family because since I'm a part of Global Entry. But then my wife, she went and got her Global Entry card. So we just wanted to make sure that there weren't any, you know, there weren't any glitches.
Yeah.
Now,
but what about the kids? What if the terrorists use the kids to transport stuff, which they do?
Yeah, and, you know, absolutely right, you know. But
you don't, Neil, so we can trust you.
No. Anybody knows me, you know they love my kids, and
right.
I'm not kidding. But, like I said, with Global Entry, everything is constantly being scanned. You know, they knew things that, I was kind of shocked when I was talking to the officer from Customs and Border about he had information about, like, high school
oh my
I went
God.
To.
Wow.
Yeah,
so they do some digging.
Were you stuffing toilet paper in the toilets?
No, not me. But the funny thing, though, is he said, you want to tell me what happened back in 63? I said, I was born. He says, oh. I don't know what that was all about.
It says here, Neil, that there was a phonics test you didn't complete in third grade. Did you want to talk to us about that? What happened there?
Well, you know, I think I had the teacher's edition for that one.
Oh, maybe.
And, yeah, maybe.
All right. Well, thanks for that info.
All right. You're welcome.
We really
World
appreciate
Entry.
It.
It's called World Entry. Were you inferring that Neil's kids were terrorists?
No,
that I was
but
like getting
the,
that?
The terrorists, if they go get this Global Entry, I know they're not going to identify themselves as terrorists.
Right.
But
job occupation. It says here you're a terrorist. You've been a terrorist since 2008. What's that?
All right.
Just part-time. Just freelance. Right.
Freelance. That's not even funny. Why am I laughing?
That's not funny.
All right, Jamie, we were talking about getting pre-certified for TSA. You can't even get an appointment?
No. I completed the form online. Piece of cake. Very simple. The next step, when you hit your next button, is to just determine which location you want to go to, and I wanted to go to Rosemont. And then it said the first available date is July 1st, 45 days out.
Wow.
9 o'clock. So I said, okay, that's fine with me. I'm flying in early July. Maybe I'll actually get this done. Hit the next button, and it comes up, oh, no, there's nothing at this location. And then they tell you, do not just walk in. You have to have an appointment, because if you walk in, everybody that has an appointment goes in ahead of you.
Right.
So you could be there for hours. Ugh.
Try calling the phone number. They list a phone number, too.
I called the phone number. I've called the phone number 4 times. And every single time after going through all the menus, it says, we're busy now. Call again later.
That's terrible.
It is terrible.
All right.
So,
something better be figured out.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Jamie. Appreciate that.
What happens if... Like, everybody's talking about how a lot of these, instead of using the TSA, they'll privatize it. So what happens if you buy one of these 5-year passes
and
then in 3 months the TSA is not at O'Hare or Midway or any other major airport? You don't get that money back, do you?
Dude, you are better than Dave Savini.
Thank you.
You should do an investigative report on that, because seriously, it's going to be a whole other jurisdiction.
Think about it. I mean, it's right now it sounds like a better option or a slightly better option, but if they all dump out on the TSA, then you just wasted your money.
Hi, Wally.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. We only have a couple minutes here. Did you have a question about
I'm going to make it real quick. You said Midway and O'Hare have it, and you don't need a ticket. You do need to be a ticketed passenger at O'Hare.
Yeah.
You got to get on the other side of security to fill it out. Fill out the application online. You got 45 days for the interview. When you go down to Disney, put the zip code in for Florida, and the day that you're coming back, you have to be at the airport. So you get on the other side of security at MCO, and then you go and have your interview down there, and then you get your TSA. It's $17 a year, and that's $17 for one round trip ticket for you.
All right, well, that makes sense. Somebody broke it down, too, and said if you do two flights a year for $85, it's like $8.50 a flight.
It's four bucks each flight if you fly twice on a round trip.
All right, thank you. I don't do math, so I'm glad you did, Wally. I appreciate that.
All right.
Have a good. That's because then the line. I'm already in the airport, and it doesn't seem like other airports are having as much trouble as we are here in Chicago.
True. You also have to get your passport stamped at each country at Epcot Center, so that's going to take time too.
I go there to have a beer at each country anyway. So what's the difference?
You have to declare that. All right, we'll take a quick break. Our number is 312-981-7200. We're talking about the TSA. Can I call it a disaster? It's kind of a disaster. Yeah. The TSA disaster. Your thoughts, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. They'll approve the message. You'll see. All right, we're talking about the TSA nightmare that's going on at major airports around the country. We're at 312-981-7200.
And we put a little warning out there to anyone who was flying and they had to go through the TSA line. Dave, how long did it take you to go through?
Yeah, I actually did it today. Our whole family is going down to Disney World next month, and we went online last night and pre-registered. We got our number, and I chose a facility. They said they were taking walk-ins. Appointments they do take also, and they do have priority, but I went in there this morning, and it took me a whole 5 minutes, and I was in there, out, and done.
And you're pre-certified now.
I'm pre-certified. All I have to do is I have to wait for the approval, and then I should get that, what they call a KTN number, within 7 to 10 days online, and all I have to do is call my travel agent, and they will put that into my boarding pass, and I'll be pre-certified.
Look at that. And now the whole family didn't have to go with you, did they?
No, each one has to go in individually. But my son went yesterday. His took a little bit longer. It was about an hour. And then my son and my wife went today. It took me 5 minutes. My son 5 minutes, and my wife maybe half an hour.
Not bad.
I mean, there's four of us right there, and we didn't have any problems. So I'm not quite sure what everybody's talking about. It sounds like a nightmare, but I didn't have any problems.
We are hearing a lot of things like, oh, my God, you got to get there 5 hours in advance. And we've gotten various texts and people calling saying, I got through the lines today in 15 minutes.
But the downside is if you keep getting warned, you got to be there 2 or 3 hours before your flight. Even if you're going through the line in 15 minutes, you still got to spend that extra time at the airport. You're still stuck at the airport.
Yeah, but now who's going to go 3 hours in advance? Seriously.
Well, that's what they're saying now. The reason we did do this pre-certification is, again, we have 15 in our party, and I have 8 grandchildren that are 12 years old and younger. So we're trying to just cover all our bases, and our limousine is taking us. We're flying out very early. So we're flying out at 6:30 in the morning, and we're still going to the airport at, we're getting picked up at 3:30.
And 12 and under doesn't have to pay for this, right?
No, children do not have to pre-certify. They go along with their parents.
Well, good. Have a safe trip and have fun in Disney.
Well, I'm sure going to try. Thank
Bye, Dave. You. Take care.
That's a nightmare to go with 8 grandchildren. God, I can't even do it with 2 kids, and they're teenagers. Oh my God. Good luck to you. Hey, Les.
Hey, yeah.
You have a question?
You guys are hysterical. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Wes.
Thank you.
That's nice of you.
I got to say, I'm flying out for my dad's 90th birthday on Sunday morning. I have a 7 a.m. flight in O'Hare, and I don't know. I'm supposed to get there at 4 o'clock in the morning. Is security even open in the middle of the night?
Well, or should I just go out Saturday night and rent a car?
Investigative reporter Bill Leff has the answer for you.
I mentioned this earlier in the week. My daughter was flying, this is a couple of months ago now, flying to Costa Rica, and I thought that customs and everything, not just customs, but TSA was open 24 hours at O'Hare, and it's not that way. In the middle of the night, they're closed down, or they were anyway at that point a couple of months ago. They were closed down for 2 or 3 hours in the middle of the night. It didn't reopen until 5 a.m., her flight was at 5:15. She just made it, but it's really dicey in those middle hours. You don't want to get to the airport at 4 a.m. for a 7 a.m. flight.
So you wait in a line that isn't really a line.
It's not like, moving. You
but
have
you wait
to wait
in line till it opens.
Waiting for the TSA to get there to let you go through. She stood in that line for an hour and a half, not moving, you know, just waiting for them to open.
So I should just bring a pillow for the car?
Yeah.
Yeah, bring him my pillow.
I've got one. There you go.
Good. It worked out nicely.
Thank God they have these charging stations, because you know what? Honestly, I'm just going to sit on a chair and play Candy Crush.
Right.
And kill about 2 hours.
Right, right. Happy birthday to your dad, by the way. 90's quite an achievement.
Yeah, yeah. He can't wait around for me to get there, so I hope I make the flight.
Good luck to you. Safe travels, okay, Les?
Thanks, Les.
Hey, thanks very much.
All right, and really quick, we got to run. But Jackie, you just went to get pre-certified at the TSA office as well. How'd it go?
It was good. I was on Belmont, and I got there probably about, you know, they shut down for lunch from 1 to 2, and then they reopen at 2. So I got in line about 1:40, and I was number 7. Once you're inside, it's what the other gentleman said. If you have an appointment, they take you first, and then they kind of merge in anybody that doesn't have an appointment. So once, you know, it's like an appointment, a walk-in, an appointment, a walk-in. So then when I got up there to the line, I got called, literally you're out in 4 minutes. It doesn't take long. So total inside, maybe about 40 minutes.
Not bad.
Quick. Yeah, not bad.
Safe travels to you.
Thank you.
I love a business that just shuts down for an hour for lunch. Do you and I just get to take an hour off for lunch every day?
We do.
Oh, yeah, we do. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Ro and Anna have next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.